Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is proudly brought to you by More Beer at www.morebeer.com.
I poured it in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops on
it. You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be good.
It's fine.
God damn it, man.
Oh, my God.
From the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
A lot of fun stuff already happened in the studio today. Bevo just told us that you can't see the internet.
I don't know why.
Apparently before a few minutes ago she was Neo. And everywhere she looked she could see the internet. And now she can't see the internet.
I had to put my new multifocal contact lenses in.
You really have multifocal? Is that a new thing?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
How many focals do you have? Like if you look up
Are
and
you
down
like
and
trifocal?
Around? Yeah, like how many different levels of
you old bag.
Sight do you have?
I can see far away and I can see up close.
And that's it, huh?
So they're not multifocal, they're bifocal.
They're bi.
Yeah.
They're contact lenses, and in the contact lens world, we refer to them as multifocal.
I see.
In glasses world, they would be called bifocals.
Good. But that's not sexy. Multifocal.
That used to be a sign of old age, you know.
Bifocals.
Yeah. You know, we make fun of Tasty quite a bit. But
hey, what the fuck's with that?
We are the oldest group of youngish people.
I'm not even 30.
We know.
I'm not even in high school yet.
I mean, I'm a mess. JP, I know, is a mess. Oh, Bevo's almost a mess.
I need probably 2 full knee replacements, I think. I really do.
Tasty's the healthiest one in the room, and we make fun of him.
Dentures
all the time.
And cataract really. Surgery.
I feel better in the morning than you guys.
It's true. You certainly can handle a hangover better than we can.
I really can. It's amazing.
Now, JP and I hibernate for 3 days after a hangover.
I'm real foggy.
It's a mess. Wow. There's other things going on in the studio today. JP was just revealing to me that there was another shooting at a 420 festival.
Yeah.
What is happening to the world? When stoners start shooting each other.
Was it a rubber band gun or something?
It is the end. Yeah, it was a...
Man, that hurt, dude!
You got me right there.
All stoners hate cops until someone gets shot. Yeah. Then where's the fucking cop, man? He'll fucking sort you.
Stoners and guns. What is happening? The world is insane right now.
The world is insane. But this stuff has happened. It's nothing new.
Right. It's just when they happen so close to each other, it feels like, and at a 420 festival, it just feels like the world is evolving, devolving.
It is.
Yeah.
We're devolving.
That's changing, I'm thinking.
It's probably all these immigrants.
Do you think that's what they were at the,
I don't
the
know.
Immigrants were at the 420 festival?
Why not?
See, if we were to fix the immigration problem, these things wouldn't be happening.
Where's that wall we were promised?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that would have fixed everything.
Because that's worked out so well in so many other places.
I know.
Walls. Well, it brought out Michael Knight to sing when the wall went down. What's that guy's name?
I think it's Michael Knight.
It's Michael Knight, yeah. Right?
You know. Isn't it Neil Diamond?
No.
David Hasselhoff.
He's yeah.
David Hasselhoff.
Well, and if you're and if you were referring to Michael Knight's real name before he had amnesia and he had to go into the service, then no, I don't know that.
Oh my God,
right. Michael Knight is not his actual real name in the show either, so just so you know.
Right.
Thank you.
So Bebo's back in the studio this week. Bebo, you want to hear a new song?
I don't.
Right. Did you edit it for the content you were worried about?
No, but I did send over some editing suggestions, and he's like, yeah, I can tend to be that way sometimes. Maybe I'll just scrap the whole thing, and I'll send you something different. And he sent me some stupid like song about homebrewing. And I was like, what is this?
I like beer.
Yeah, it's like one of those. And I was
Thank
like,
you.
What is this shit?
Yeah, tell me one of the first half of the Bebo song, and then yeah, make
will,
a new second
I will commend whatever dude's name is.
Sugar Valley
Brewer. Certainly lit a fire under my rear end, and
yeah,
I'm currently 6 pounds lighter than I was the last time I saw you.
Oh, is that right? You went and hit the treadmill after you left last?
Well, you probably forgot your phone.
I'm having a really hard time losing like the last 10 to 12 pounds from Flabigail, but mostly because I'm not trying. So I figured
sure.
I should try a little
Isn't
bit.
Isn't that weird how that works?
Yeah, it's
Women
crazy.
Always love complaining about, I just can't lose this weight. It's so hard for women. They have a different metabolism. No, guys just work out. And women think that they can just stop eating as much like pasta and then everything right. will be fine and they'll be
I'm having a hard time losing the last 6 pounds on the couch.
Yeah. Are you running in place while you're talking to me? No. Well, maybe that would help.
I think it's funny that both of you are talking shit when neither one of you are too attractive.
Yeah.
I've actually been working out.
Congratulations on
that. Thank
care.
You.
What are you doing? What workout are you doing?
The Taco Bell Dorito Taco Lift.
This is slightly pathetic. No, I haven't had any fast food.
No, mm-hmm.
That's a good start.
I started juicing.
In 4 hours.
Oh, yeah?
Anabolic or...
Yeah.
Right.
Human growth?
So does that mean you're on a full-on juice diet?
No, I'm not crazy. No, yeah. I'm just eating better.
I see.
Not eating fat girl food. And I did do one mm-hmm. day of the P90X. That shit hurts.
What is that?
It's called working out.
Well, no, I've been working out on my lunch hour at work, like doing stairs and lunges and squats and whatever. It's cray cray.
What do you do?
Well, it's an hour long workout, mm-hmm. and it focused entirely on my arms.
It's like birth.
So my arms
cardio
hurt.
Wow. Yes.
It was like my arms gave birth. It hurt.
Wow.
And then the next day it hurt more. And then the third day, oh my gosh, I couldn't use my arms.
Wow.
And you're saying that's due to Sugar Valley Brewers' song? All of this working out?
Yeah, I think there's a new diet plan. The Sugar Valley Brewers' diet plan.
Not your husband?
Me, but no.
Right, I'm talking about your wife's big ass.
The fact that I have so much...
Weight.
That fit... Let me just say...
I'm trying to help.
Recently, the phrase... Yeah. Just because you can get it on doesn't mean it fits has never been more clear to me.
Wow.
Muffin top syndrome, huh?
Yeah, well.
That's all right.
I gained 60 pounds, so what are you going to do?
You're still really nice.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
You have a nice
people.
Personality.
No, I'm not.
Hey, brother.
Well, I thought you looked great walking in the room today, Bebo.
Thank
you. Yeah, we checked it out.
That 6 pounds really shows.
Yeah.
Nate just walking in the room. I think he might even look better walking into the room.
Nate, have you lost 6 pounds as well?
No.
You haven't lost any weight. Yeah, there. Oh, you had it right. The first button.
No, it's the other one.
There
no,
you go.
Not
there
that
you go.
One. Nope. The other one.
The one with the light on
no,
top
that
is
one.
On.
The other one.
That's the one.
I've obviously lost brain cells. I think, but I probably gained 6 pounds.
Are you sure? You're looking a little thinner.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's water.
Have you done PX79?
PX79. I'm lost.
What's it
it's
called?
The new drug.
P90X.
Man.
Why is it
P90X?
Called?
P90X?
Why do things? Is that a drug or a
you
workout?
You do it for 90 days.
It's a workout. It's intense.
What's the P and the X down
for? I don't know,
stand
man.
For?
Portland. It was developed in Portland.
Pseudo exfoliation.
Hipster drug.
That's how it's
You just drink PBR.
That's all you do. Man, PBR
You're never
and pepperoni.
Do it, don't worry about
that's
it.
The Portland diet. PBR and hookahs. All right. A lot to get to today. We got a good show for you. Thanks for our sponsor, More Beer. You go to morebeer.com right now. Check them out. Always good to us. I brewed again on my more beer equipment this week.
What did you make? That's like more than once in the last month.
Three times.
God
in
damn.
The last 3 weeks or something.
Can you call yourself a home brewer now?
No, because I screwed it up again.
Where's all the beer?
That's
going?
What makes you a home brewer.
Well, it's still fermenting.
No, no, but like all the other kegs, you have the two kegs of the red that's going to suck big dicks.
That's in. I just then, kegged that a few days ago, and those two are in my kegerator. I've got room for two more, which is the, what did I brew?
The Newcastle clone.
Thank you. That brown ale.
You're welcome.
The Newcastle. Those will be keg ready in a few days. Those will also fit in the kegerator.
Both of those? Because I'm assuming since Chad helped you brew both, he would get one keg, right?
No. Chad did not help me brew either.
Wait, what?
And he wasn't even there for the other one, the second one, or the third one.
The red ale's debatable, but
he didn't help with the red ale. He happened to be present.
I saw him, but that's fine.
You saw him what? Tell me, like, I would ask him direct questions. Does this hose go here?
Well,
did you see anything more than that?
I have photographic evidence.
He's being a consultant.
Him doing anything other than connecting a hose or telling me where to connect a hose?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
What is he doing in the photos?
I can't reveal my sources.
You're the source.
Shit, wait.
And you can't reveal it because it's bullshit.
Well, that remains to be seen. Anyways, continue with your story.
The nut brown, Newcastle brown, it's not a nut brown at all.
No.
It's a Newcastle brown
Newcastle
ale.
Brown ale.
Is almost ready for kegging. That will also fit my kegerator. And then the one I just did on, I don't know what day.
The other day.
Thursday-ish. Well, I just did it Thursday-ish. And that one I'll have to probably bring here for cold storage. I'll be out of cold storage by then.
Yeah.
Well, you can even heat it up again.
Take the produce bins out of your refrigerator. And,
yeah.
If you're into this home brewing, you're into it.
Yeah. Well, and you're going to SoCal.
We got room here.
And then,
Oh, you got room. Then why not?
Yeah, we got room here in the BN kegerator.
Right,
yeah. Well
good.
One of those. Three of those kegs are going to Southern California with me to the SoCal Festival.
Yeah, so, it'll be perfect. You'll be picking up stuff here anyway, so you can pick up that beer.
So I will have three beers on tap at SoCal this year, Nathan.
Three?
Yeah. I've only ever had one in the last, how many years have we been going, Tasty? This will be my fourth, I think.
Yeah. So you got
maybe four.
One of all those years, I think I've ever brought one beer, and I'm bringing three this year for my peeps.
Thanks for picking up the slack.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I don't feel as guilty.
So at least one out of three might not suck.
That's my hope. And you know what that one is going to be? It's going to be the red. It's going to be the evil twin.
It's going to be the one you kick his ass with?
It's going to be the... I've changed the name from evil twin clone to JP Killer.
Well...
Yeah.
Is that why it's red like my heart? Because my heart's going to kill me.
I'm pretty sure that every brewcaster challenge I enter, I will name the beer whatever.
Nate Killer.
Yeah, exactly.
Tasty Killer. So I've already patented and trademarked that name.
Blank underscore killer.
Underscore killer.
Yeah.
Right.
So you guys will have to come up with your own bullshit.
Brewcaster Killer.
We're going to talk about my failures a little later in the show because we're going to talk about a little bit about trying to calculate your system's efficiency and some numbers and things. And I've concluded that science hates me. I'm experiencing the same things that made me stop homebrewing a long time ago.
Math.
However, this time I'm not exactly. However, this time I'm not quite as discouraged. I still really enjoyed the brew day.
All right.
I had a lot of fun.
Good. That's the point.
We'll talk about it a little bit later in the program. We're going to do that for you. We're also going to talk to Bernie Silberwasser. He's the owner and founder of Bogota Beer Company in Bogota, Colombia. And I think that we're going to find out that there's really not a lot of craft beer in Bogota. There certainly wasn't when Bernie started. And we're going to learn about all the places that he's opened up. Something like 13 locations now or something, right?
Yeah, that's right.
About 13 locations plus a production brewery. And we'll find out about the beer scene in Colombia and what challenges he had to face.
Let's really find out. Let's see if we can get him to invite us down there.
I know. Yes. Wouldn't that be great?
Let's just work this, all right?
Well, invitation's free, but, you know, you need the airfare paid.
Yeah.
Really.
I'm pretty sure we've been invited off the continent before.
Everywhere.
Where are we going to
show up? Sure. You can have beer with us. Why not?
Right.
So we're going to talk to Bernie a little bit later. If you've got questions, 888-401-BEER. You could also join the chat room, and Beaver's in the chat. She'll take your questions and send them on over to me.
No JTV right now.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
I forgot the BN laptop. It's on its way back here, and we'll have JTV going here in just a little while. There's not much to see. A bunch of unhealthy young people.
Bunch of sunburned people.
Yeah.
I'm healthy.
Yeah.
I'm not healthy.
You know. We all, well, not Nathan, but the rest of us went to the Bay Area Craft Beer Festival yesterday here in Martinez.
Yeah.
I went and judged down at the handles there.
Oh, for the first round NHC?
Yeah.
Oh, you were
that was
judging?
Fun. Nice.
Good for you. It's a noble thing to
try
do.
To throw my hat in the ring on that one.
You know the best part about the Martinez, the Bay Area Craft Beer Festival now?
Is that to Martinez?
Hoary looking, oh my. Good looking broad.
Yeah, a lot of women. Something
everywhere.
Happened in the last
really?
Year.
That's the
yeah.
most women I ever kissed in one day.
It's
everyone to kiss for some reason.
Crazy. And I don't know what it is, but you know, Winterfest does okay. I was kind of proud of Winterfest this year.
Yeah.
We got put to shame in the women department
well,
by Martinez.
The problem is, it's Winterfest versus the summer.
Cold yeah. time of year, yeah. too many clothes.
Okay. They yeah. had 20 degrees on us.
Yeah.
There was a girl there. That we were convinced had an ass implant.
That was unbelievable.
Christmas.
Because
in the blue dress.
That's what.
Yes.
She had the shelf.
You could put a beer on the back
you
shelf.
Wow. Put beer on the shelf.
And she was white as a ghost.
Right.
And
it had to be fake.
Tiny midsection and not a big chest.
No, Doc said if it is an implant, she's doing it backwards.
Start with
yeah, she's upside down and backwards.
I wanted to just fall next to her and get a look up there.
I was hoping for like the Marilyn Manson subway or Marilyn Monroe subway great thing
right.
with a just a gust of wind out of nowhere.
Yeah, the Marilyn Manson one has a lot of blood involved.
Yeah, right. That one is not as good.
But it was like, imagine the most swayed back girl you've ever seen in your life, and then the lower
and a deck
back
attach.
Yeah, push the lower back in about half a foot, and that's what it was. And then the butt sticks out. It was terrible.
It's like those right. Victorian era dresses that would have the huge posterior and yeah. the bustier
yeah,
midsection.
Except she didn't, yeah, but she didn't have any
but
stricture.
It was like the loosest
all
dress I ever saw.
Yeah, real clingy.
But it was not only the butt coming out. It was the stomach coming in, all just like all
right.
weird, and her chest was all yeah. pushed out.
There's a lot of freaks out there.
You know, it's a good beer fest when the beer itself hasn't even come up at all yet.
Exactly.
It's all about the ladies.
Oh, there was a broad in a dirndl with these legs
Lord.
That... I don't think she had anything but legs.
German.
It's that German Oktoberfest.
Yeah. St. Pauli girl.
That puts your boobs out and a short skirt and legs that... Yeah, just legs. I think she was all legs.
I think
yeah,
she
lots
was.
Of legs, I saw.
No vagina, just legs and boobs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which was fine. I mean... All right.
It would have worked.
Anyway, it was a good festival. Let me give you a couple other updates here. BNA 8, the 8th anniversary of the Brewing Network Party, is happening in Philadelphia. You know about this already, but you can go to Brewing Network Philly. I think it is. BrewingNetworkPhilly.eventbrite.com and check it out. Tickets are on sale now. This event will sell out. VIP tickets have already sold out. It's the Wednesday night before the National Homebrewers Conference, and we got a great lineup for you. We're starting to procure the beer now. And it's already looking good. We actually reached out to some of our Philadelphia listeners, our Pennsylvania listeners, in fact, to recommend breweries that they'd like to see there. We'll try to bring in some of our breweries from out of state as well. We always do that for listeners, for people coming in from out of town. But I thought for those of us... you know, who aren't locals, many of the listeners travel to this conference. We want the best that Pennsylvania has to offer. So we've crowdsourced a little bit, and we've got some suggestions.
I'm from Pennsylvania. And, doesn't
are
offer
you really?
Much.
I forget about that. Is your family still there?
In Pittsburgh.
The ones with the eyes that are real far
yeah,
apart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's called fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah. I mean, it's not all of your family.
Your children will look the same.
But a couple of them, yeah, probably
well,
so.
It all depends on how much Kate drinks.
Yeah, right. It's not yeah. the dude drinking that does it, right?
No.
Oh, good. So my kids have a chance.
Yeah.
So you're saying
no.
there's a chance.
It's all the women going, I don't care. It'll be fine for the baby.
Right. So we're ordering beer now. It's going to be a good time. Go to Brewing Network Philly.eventbrite.com. Check it out. Get your tickets now.
Close enough.
Come party with us. It's going to be a fun time.
Oh, yeah. I think there's only something like a handful of tickets left. Mm. Not really that, but like a little bit over 200.
Yeah, we're about where we normally are at this point in the year.
Yeah.
There's a couple of hundred left, and they sell out. I'm not lying about how that goes.
No,
I even looked at the statistics from past years just to make sure and see where we're at. And basically, what has happened is all the BN hardcore listeners and the people know how awesome the party is have bought their tickets. They bought them all in the first few days. And what you're left with is the people who start to go, God, I've heard about this BN party. Maybe I should go. And that's how the last couple hundred tickets go. And so if you're lagging behind and you haven't got yours, that's where you're going to miss out. So go get them now. Check it out. I put the show schedule up on the homepage now. It's down at the bottom left there. We're starting to populate it. I had a couple of issues. A whole bunch of work is being done on our server to solve some of the problems that it's been having and some of the problems that you listeners have pointed out. We did put a show schedule module up there in the meantime to start to alleviate that problem of not knowing when shows are. We're going to get that populated for you this week. I think I worked out the glitches in it just over the weekend. And then there'll be a bunch of other changes coming to the website soon, but the whole platform has to be rebuilt. It's an old platform. We can't make upgrades to it. Every time we make an upgrade, it says your server is old, is basically what it tells me.
That's too bad.
Yeah, so we're it's all in the process of being fixed. I've outsourced that work, so you know it might actually get done.
Can I ask you, point something out though? You don't do anything.
No, I direct now.
Well, no, but I mean, like, as far as, you know, why we don't have shows all the time, we only do, you know, you only work when you're on the show.
Right.
So you did something over the weekend. That doesn't sound like anything you would do.
Did I say that? I didn't mean to say that.
No, you shouldn't have said that.
I probably shouldn't have said that I did anything outside of the show. That's a bad trend I'm starting.
Just want to point it out.
Hop grenade warheads are in the store.
Thank you. That's what it's called.
Those are our double-walled stainless steel hop grenade growlers. They are badass. People at the festival this week were buying them up and loving them.
Yeah.
And Tasty just got his. Nathan will go home with one as
that
well.
That thing is cool.
And you guys will now be the coolest kids at your homebrew meetings.
I will be. That's great.
So get them in the store now while they last. I recommend doing that. The Pale Ale DVD is also in the store. It's Matt Brinelson teaching us how to brew the perfect American Pale Ale. Check it out. Comes with a great recipe and all the instructions you need to make your own recipe and brew a great American style pale ale. Do your Amazon shopping through the Brewing Network. Just click the Amazon link on the homepage. It gives us a little cut, and you don't even know what's happening. You just click that link and go to town. You can save it in your bookmarks. iPhone and Android apps available in both stores. Just search BN Mobile. It's free. Typically, you can watch live things on justin.tv/Brewing Network in just a few minutes. You should be able to do that.
Yeah, I didn't know you lived an hour away.
Oh, yeah, I wonder if Kate died on the way to getting the laptop.
Man. You better have.
I'm going to get so much pussy if Kate died on the way home. I mean, just imagine, because she's doing a BN errand, and so every time, and it's still going to be my career, so every time I go to a beer fest, it'll be like...
Sympathy pussy.
Oh, yeah, my girlfriend died. She was running a Brewing Network errand for me. Oh, blah, blah.
Oh, they can will I
just
blow go, you then?
They will just blow me right at the festival.
Oh, man.
So much pussy. It's going to be great.
But that's the mouth.
Kate called me from the airport a couple weeks ago. She was coming home. She said, I'm just letting you know I'm at the airport drinking a Sam Adams. And I said, well, you know, I'm glad you called. It's good to talk to you. In case you go down in a fiery ball of flames on the flight home. Yeah.
You said this to her.
And KTG, she's like, yeah, you know, I knew that she was having a Sam Adams at the bar. And she's like, oh, you'll get so much pussy if I do. Next time you're on a date and the woman orders a Sam Adams, you can just pull out this. That's the last beer Kate had. This is Kate talking. It wasn't even making the joke. That's why she's Kate the
Great.
She's
awesome.
She is great.
Anyway, I half hope she died on the way to getting the laptop. Because it's going to be a good 2013.
Well, let's cut our brake lines, dude. Let's start being proactive with this
start
shit.
Making it happen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Back into the game, you know? Like I was ever in the game. I don't even know what the game is. I'm pretty sure it's called The Game.
I think it is.
All right. Subscribe and join the BN Army by hitting the donate button right there on the homepage. It enters you into the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway. That's a chance to win $100 to More Beer. And now that I'm a homebrewer, I have discovered that $100 goes a long way. You need that. You get a batch of beer and some equipment.
Are you going to start donating to the cause?
I signed up over the weekend.
I don't know how it's done, but the last 6 months, I've won everything.
Oh, man.
It'll get you a pound of Crystal 40 and a couple of pellets.
I'll tell you, you know, I have a Brewing Network account over there for when we do sponsor stuff with them, and I have my own account. And I'll tell you, it's everything I can do when I get to the register with all those ingredients when they ask me, you know, what account does this go to?
Yeah.
It's everything I can do to be an honest and upright and upstanding citizen.
Oh, wow.
And not say, oh, it goes on the Brewing Network sponsor account. You know, I have to put it on my own stupid card.
That's too bad.
Painful.
Can you write it off as research?
I do, yeah. Oh, okay, I'm still writing it off. Yeah, you know. But that's what? That's like 30 cents on the dollar. So I'm getting a discount. But
I've discovered, man, that writing things off isn't all that cool.
No, it's not what... You know, people who tell you... Schumann and people like that used to do it all the time. Like, oh, it's a write-off. People who go spending enormous amounts of money in the name of it being a write-off don't understand how the write-off portion works.
No, I wrote off a bunch of... Or my tax lady wrote off a bunch of crap for me. And it lowers my verifiable income. So now I'm fucked on my mortgage.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, this is really cool.
You gotta, guys. If you want to pay your taxes legally, this whole write-off thing is—it's helpful, but it.
Schumann's great. Oh man, you know. Well, I don't.
She was like, I need another acoustic guitar. No, you don't, Schumann. You're first of all, you're broke. Second of all, you have eight.
No. Like, what I really need. You know, Trophy Fire. They want to do this video where, like, we have all of our like home movies and they're playing in the background. So I'm gonna buy it because then I'll just digitally transfer everything and I'll just write it all off.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the government pays for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, not 100%.
No, anyway. It's free. You didn't know that? No.
All right, get all these updates and more over on Twitter and...
Blah, blah, blah.
Send your show ideas over to Scott the Jew. That's scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, can you help me understand why I get forwarded feedback emails with show ideas multiple times every single week?
Every friggin' bargain week.
I don't know. People, you know.
Are dumb. People are dumb. People listeners are dumb.
They're on their own planet, you know.
Dumb. It's planet
a lot,
idiot.
It's a lot to remember. Scott is you'd think it'd be easier. It's a shorter word than feedback.
Yeah. Is it one T or is it two? I don't know.
Feedback.
I know how to spell feedback, so I don't give a shit.
Right.
Do you know how often I've gotten that in my life? Scott with one T or two? What kind of a maniac spells their name with one T? Scott with one T, please.
That's real doofus, man.
It's modern, you know, to have one T.
That's just short for Scott.
Yeah. Less writing, you know?
Yeah, that's your nickname.
You can call me Scott.
Yeah, you gotta shorten the one-syllable name, huh?
Anybody ever call you Scotty? Were you ever a Scotty?
My siblings did, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I call you Scotty every now and then.
Yeah, JP sometimes. Yeah. JP calls you whatever no one else is calling you.
That's how cool I am.
Right.
Yeah.
So he never calls you Ginger, then?
Never.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes.
Right. He calls you whatever no one else is calling you and whatever you don't want to be called.
Right.
Yeah. But rarely do I bring up the Ginger thing anymore.
Yeah, every now and then.
Now it's Scotty or, you know, Handsome or something. I don't know.
Ah, damn it. I got a text from Kate.
She's alive.
Well, either that or someone's texting me from her phone.
Hey,
and she's laying on the sidewalk.
We can't identify this person. Here's a picture of her face.
You're the last dialed number.
Right. Do you know her? No.
Hey, that's my girlfriend, Bloody Face.
What else do I have to do?
I don't know.
Hey, you know, you can get dildos over at adamandeve.com. Go to adamandeve.com right now. You can use their mobile site, too. I think if you go to your mobile phone and punch in adamandeve.com, it automatically does that. If you use coupon code BNARMY, you can get 50% off just about any one item. You get free shipping. You get three free adult DVDs from all sorts of genres, such as Asian and anal and...
Gaping.
Is that a new one?
No, it's not a new one, but it's an old
it's
one.
It's been there?
Oh, yeah.
Gaping.
Yeah. You don't know about
big
that?
Old titties.
The been around a long time.
Girl. You name it.
Amateur, my favorite.
Yeah. Amateur on there.
Sway back giant butt implant. That should be a new one.
Yeah, I downloaded a porn once called, it was called like Smoking Amateur. And I was like, oh, it's going to be some smoking hot broad, like amateur. No, it was she was smoking cigarettes. It was like the whole time is this broad smoking cigarettes while she's getting banged.
Sponsored by Lucky Strike.
Tobacco fetish.
I was like, what the hell is who that wants?
Nicotine fetish.
Hey,
who wants this? I'm pretty sure it was the night that I was like, hey, Kate, you know, you want to watch some porn together?
Yeah.
Well, let's do this one. And,
right.
And she's like, yeah, no, we're not going to watch that. I was like, well, just I don't pretend she's not smoking.
You downloaded a whole movie?
No, he owned it.
I don't think so. It was a clip. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, whatever it was, it was falsely advertised.
Yes, those are the worst.
Smoking amateur.
Smoking.
Since it isn't this 2013, when you say smoking, you don't mean smoking. You mean smoking hot.
Smoking.
Well, I don't know.
I got this. I actually have a similar story, which is weird. I downloaded. I was looking for this movie about amateurs who are angry. Oh, that's my thing. So I downloaded. I downloaded.
That's your fetish.
Yeah, I downloaded Weird. Pissy Amateur.
Okay.
Well, guess what?
She's pissing.
She's pissing everywhere.
Yeah, it's impressive.
So then I go, okay, well, there's, you know, so I downloaded Pissy Amateurs too because I figured, well, that can't be, you know, what it is. 3, 4, 5, all the same.
They're all the same one.
So I have
drinks lots of water.
If you want to.
When they're we got to do this quickly because I got to move on. But when they're described accurately, what happens in an angry amateur? Like,
no, I have no idea. I don't know. I see. That's comedy.
You're still looking for it.
I just wrote off the top of my head right there.
He just finds lots of pissing stuff right now.
All right. Anyway, you know, if you're having trouble downloading things accurately, go to adamandeve.com and you can pick your 3 free DVDs. You can see a full description. You know safer. What you're getting. Use coupon code BNARMY right now. Go check it out. It helps us out, believe it or not. Can you do a Twitter game without the computer?
No, I can't.
Why not? It's just, it's still the same thing.
Well,
ask a question.
I mean, it's asking, I can't ask a question without a laptop.
Well, because I have them all written down. I have a whole thing. I work off the show. I don't know if you knew that, but when I'm not on the show, I'm actually working.
I see.
Sometimes. Sometimes I'm swimming at Scott's house. What's the Twitter game?
Sometimes you swing at Scott's house? You guys are swingers now?
Yeah, man.
Moscow, is that what's going on in your little den of luxury?
I thought we were monogamous. What do you mean swingers?
Guess what, bro?
How great would it be to find out that Scott and Alexa and JP and Taryn are full-on swingers?
Partner swapping?
And they have this whole other life outside of the BN where they're going to... All these times we think JP's at Disneyland.
Yeah,
that's, well, Disneyland
it's code.
Is,
it's code. Yeah, yeah.
It's code for swingerland.
But the candy cane in room 204, motherfucker.
Right.
You know how we split that up, though. It's Alexa and Taryn and then me and JP.
Right. Yeah. No, I believe. Yeah, that's no why one. That's no why one I'm, questioned that. No.
Okay.
I'm you guys make go sure have you know. Sex, and Alexa and Taryn go on Pinterest.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
That's their life. All right. Well, how about this then? We'll do the Twitter game at the beginning of the next segment. We should have time for that. And instead, we'll do some feedback.
Oh my God!
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
All right, feedback's brought to you today by our good friends over at Blickman Engineering. John Blickman is a good dude. He's going to be at the BN Anniversary Party and the National Homebrewers Conference. They set up a really cool booth there every year. You get to play with all their gadgets, and boy, do they make some good stuff. They usually reveal some new things, too, so maybe that'll happen. Go check them out. They're a longtime sponsor and have been very good to us over at Blickman Engineering. All right, Send From My iPhone writes in, what was the title and date of the podcast when you talked about sour beers and the 2 brown ales? Thanks from Steve.
Dear Steve, eat one.
Send that to our
we
have a search
continuity
function.
Department.
We make a lot of fun about how lazy I am. How fucking lazy are you? How much of a lack of understanding do you have of what goes on here when you can ask a question like that and expect to get an answer? People even, you know, and this, I guess, is reasonable, but they'll ask, hey, yeah, you remember that show you did with such and such? And I'm like, we have like 300 shows. No, I don't. Maybe I remember. Give me more information. Never mind, what was the show where you talked about sour beers and the 2 brown ales?
Just send him a link to the first show and say, it's at the end. Just keep listening.
Right.
Then he'll send you back and say, it wasn't there.
Right.
You say, well, go to the second one. Just
by the way, the answer
going.
Is February 2012. No, I don't. What a weird.
It's a weird question.
Like,
I
some
know.
Guy's just, he's just driving along, he's listening, he's got his phone, and he's like, oh, I'll just ask when it happens.
Well,
what am I?
What am I,
Wikipedia?
These are the 2 questions I get a lot in feedback. Number one, it's show ideas, which I forward to Scotty
right.
over here. The other is, hey, man, what do you think about, or like, it's either like really in-depth brewing where it'll, like, 4 questions. This guy Clayton sends in all these questions. It's like, I don't, we have a forum.
Right.
So they're either appropriate for Scott or they're appropriate for the forum. That's a forum question. It's not a feedback question.
Wow.
Especially if we have an off week for 4 weeks in a row. I won't see it for 4 fucking weeks.
Right.
Put it in the forum.
Anyway, Steve sent for my iPhone. I don't know. I can't help you.
Put it in the forum, Steve.
All right, Brewing Fish writes in, hey guys.
Put it in the forum, Brewing Fish.
I listen to BN and many other podcasts as I drive to work and home again each day. It's a...
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, dude.
It's a tight balance keeping up to date, made more difficult by the 5 hours or so of awesomeness that comes out of the Sunday session each week. By scheduling 3 weeks per month, you allow me to catch up, if required, in the fourth week and keep on top. Thank you for being so thoughtful.
Right?
You are welcome, wow. sir. You know what? Based on that, we're going to 2 weeks next month. Yeah, right. You are welcome, Brewing Fish.
You'll be able to get caught up a lot.
Yeah. You'll never be behind.
2 weeks. All right. Sent from my iPhone writes in again.
He's a multiple...
I'm a relatively new listener, and I've only listened to the newer Sunday Session episodes. Out of curiosity, I listened to the very first episode podcast. Wow, you guys were really polite back then. Not that you're assholes now, but you kind of are. After listening to the first episodes, I can tell you've come a long way. Love the network and look forward to the future.
That wasn't on the first episode.
That's why we were nice back then. All right, thank you, sent for my iPhone. Kevin writes in, hey guys, really enjoyed this week's show. I think he means last week's show. Especially the discussion of chilling methods. I just wanted to share a low-cost method I use for getting my wort down to pitching temp. I'm in Texas, and in the summer, the groundwater can be damn near 90 degrees. So I fill my igloo cooler mash tun with a couple 2-3 pounds of ice and water, then submerge a cheap aquarium pump in that, and hook it up to the tube connected to my immersion chiller. I let the outflow drain into the sink and wherever until the wort temp drops a bit. Then submerge it into the MLT.
Mash tun.
And create a closed system. I will then add staggered additions of ice depending on the batch size and how hot the ambient temperature is, just to make sure it's still cold enough. So it's a pre-chiller, right?
Yeah.
Describing, and
well, he's recirculating his chill water, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says it's a good way to get your wort down to pitching temp. And yeah, I agree. And thank you for the input and a little elaboration on it. Doc also uses a pre-chiller he was talking about when he's trying to get things down to lager temperature. Right now, as things are tasty, I'll tell you right now, I transferred my wort at pitching temp once again the other day. And it was a hot day when I brewed. And I still was able to transfer at 68. Just straight through my Therminator. No pre-chiller. My Blickman Therminator. Yeah. No pre-chiller, no nothing. I can see, and in fact, Blickman recommends it in the instructions. As you get into summer and the groundwater's coming out at 86 degrees, you know, science hates me, but I understand that you can't chill below the water temperature going into your chiller. Right. So a pre-chiller of some kind is the only way to do it if you want to go lower.
Or what I do is not live in Texas.
Right. There's that.
That seems to work real well for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes on to just say, thanks. Great show as always. Looking forward to hearing the results from the Brewcaster versus Brewcaster challenge. He says, sorry, Justin, but my bet's on JP from Kevin in Texas.
All kinds of middle fingers at you right now.
Why a Texan would ever vote JP is beyond me.
They're not very smart.
It would be like a Canadian voting for Bebo.
Right?
You don't do that. These people hate you.
Canadians don't hate me.
You hate them.
Yeah. Not true.
It is true. You've never said a good word about any Canadian except for Blobber.
Yes.
And he's a freak show.
By the way, Blobber's brother is coming to our next Disneyland adventure.
Oh. And I'm sure he's a delightful person.
I'm sure he is.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to meet Blobber's brother, just so you know.
Right. All right. Feedback was brought to you today by our good friends over at Blickman Engineering. And go check them out right now and thank them for supporting the show. Let's go to the phones. We got a phone call with a yeast question. Big Daddy Brewer, what's happening, brother?
Hey, what's going on, ass?
How are you? What can we do for you?
Hey, I got a quick question on yeast.
Okay.
Shoot. Well, I was thinking about fermenting, and, you know, it's going to be a couple of weeks before, you know, I go to brew another batch. But I've heard of people, you know, taking and tossing expired yeast packets and whatnot into their boil for, yeast nutrient.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So yeah, so what if I take a yeast cake out of my fermenter, you know, and just cut it up into a couple of jars, you know, and store it, and, you know, the next time I go to do a batch, you know, I do a 5-gallon batch, but, you know, I mean, take one of those jars and pour it into my boil. What's that going to do for me? I mean, boiling it, fucking break up all that stuff and give me, like, the Autolase kind of flavor, you know, where the fucking
All right. We got it. I got to get us moving.
You out there?
Because we got to do the interview too. So, what do you think, guys? Recycling is yeast cake instead of getting rid of it and using it as a yeast nutrient. What's your thought, Nate?
This is sort of what is in the yeast nutrients to begin with, the commercial ones that you can buy. But I think the methods that they use to prepare that stuff and the way they dehydrate it is probably a little different than you'd be able to do. You may not be able to dose it correctly, or you may be putting some of the wrong fatty acids and stuff in solution. You might get it right, you might get it wrong. It'd be really hard to get it right, though, I think.
Okay.
I would advise not trying.
Tasty, anything to add?
Yeah, it'd be unpredictable. Why waste your time when you can go and get a real yeast nutrient and apply the proper dosage and get what you want?
Well, I do like the principle, which is thinking of why throw away all this perfectly good.
It's not a bad question.
Great principle and a great question, yeah.
Thanks, Big Daddy. Good question, brother.
Well, my nearest home store is an hour and a half away to get the nutrient.
I see.
All right.
Well, get some mail, because it's not only just the yeast hulls and stuff. There's other nutrients in there that you're going to need that you're not absolutely not going to get from just adding old yeast in there.
And you can always go to morebeer.com and order anything you want.
Yeah, stuff like Servo has a really nice shelf life. It's not heavy. You can get it shipped pretty cheap. Yeah. You know, they have like a special process that keeps it basically from dropping out of solution too, like keep it from chelating or something like that.
Oh, so, yeah.
It's not only a good idea, but you can dose correctly, and it's set up for that purpose.
Okay. Thank you, Big Daddy Brewer. I'm sorry, I got to go because we got an interview to do real quick. We're going to be talking to Michael Fairbrother from Moonlight Meadery here in just a couple minutes. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to taste some mead from Moonlight Meadery. And then, of course, we got Bogota Brewing Company on the show today from Colombia. So that'll be a first for the Brewing Network, and I'm excited to do that. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back with Moonlight Meadery.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Hell or High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty crack cans.
Tasty crack cans.
A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeasts, White Labs is proud to announce WLP 90, San Diego's super yeast, now available year-round. WLP 90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial. For nearly 15 years, homebrewers have been served by one place in Michigan where you can buy yourself a serial killer grain mill. Adventures in Homebrewing. Did you try all those great Michigan beers at the National Homebrewers Conference in San Diego or Seattle? Adventures in Homebrewing delivered. Did you see a great false bottom in your buddy's cooler or brew kettle? Adventures in Homebrewing delivered that. And did you see that great custom-built brew stand? Yep, Adventures in Homebrewing delivered. Since 1999, Adventures in Homebrewing in Taylor, Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and online at homebrewing.org has been serving homebrewers across the globe. Check out their innovative 2.5-gallon keg with metal handles, great homebrew kits, and the fully adjustable serial killer grain mill. Visit them in Philly for the 2013 National Homebrewers Conference. Not going to make it? Check out all the fun of Adventures in Homebrewing at homebrewing.org. For a limited time, coupon code BNETWORK will slam 10% off your order. Bam! Adventures in Homebrewing. Join the adventure at the Great Lakes Home for homebrewing supplies. Online at homebrewing.org. And don't forget coupon code BNETWORK for a limited time. Join the adventure today.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
The Session.
Brewing up our next batch of Radio Gold.
Right now.
That's right. Welcome back to the program, and thanks for hanging out with us. We got a lot to do today. JP, do we have a Twitter game now that you... Kate is alive, by the way.
That's too bad.
She made it back fine.
Bummer.
So you can now, I think in a minute, be able to go to justin.tv/brewingnetwork and watch the live feed and know that I will not be getting any strange pussy for 2013.
Now that Taryn has a new job, her commute's a lot longer.
Yeah.
So now I'm throwing her hat in the pool. Like every day like at 5:30, I'm like, oh my God. And then I hear her pull up.
Right. And you're like, well, maybe tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow. Do we have to go to San Rafael tomorrow?
Do we have a Twitter game?
Yes, we do, Justin.
All right. Twitter game is brought to you today by the 21st Amendment right here in San Francisco. 2NA, longtime sponsor of ours, and we love them. Get cans of 2NA at a neighborhood something or other near you right now.
Lower to Boom in cans now.
That is a
the
great...
The Mollywide.
That is a great beer in a can, by the way.
I haven't had it yet.
It's that little... That's
the mini can.
It's the little like Red Bull looking can, yeah. And it's great beer, and 2NA is kicking some ass with those cans of beer. Check them out. They're bringing you this Twitter game. What do we have today?
Excuse me. So, I know, Justin, that you know about our new Warhead stainless steel 64-ounce growler.
Yes.
If you're not carrying beer to your homebrew club meeting in this Warhead,
yes.
I would like an alternate use for the Warhead. If you're not packing serious heat with your lame homebrew... What else are you storing in the Warhead?
Right you are, JP. Lots
Thank
of uses
you.
For the Warhead. What else are you... Is it what you're using the Warhead for, or what other vessel are you using?
Alternate uses for the Warhead.
Okay, yeah.
What are you putting in it?
Got it.
Besides the beer.
Right you are, JP. Okay, that's your Twitter game. Our Twitter handle is Brewing Network, I think. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. On the line right now, we've got our good friend, Michael Fairbrother from Moonlight Meadery. Michael, what's happening, man?
Not much, man. How you been?
Been very well, thank you, and good to have you back on the program.
Yeah, what's going on since I've been on last?
Well, we've been busy with some different event planning, plus we had the Martinez Beer Festival, but we were talking, JP and I were talking about you today. I know we're working behind the scenes to make sure that you're doing something with us at the Brewing Network Anniversary Party, right?
Yeah, that's the plan.
I got to work that out with you. We're going to talk to you this week. It'd be fantastic for you to have a Moonlight Meadery table and be able to share it, especially these ones that we keep tasting with you on the air, to be able to share it. And on top of that, Michael, I wanted to just put this idea in your head to think about. The VIP ticket, is it's just 100 people doing a dinner, doing a beer dinner upstairs. And I don't know, I can't think of a better way to showcase a Moonlight Mead. So just smoke that for a few days.
Cool. One of my guys today already mentioned it to me, so that's great.
Okay, cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, I know that our sponsors, our wonderful sponsors, Northern Brewer and Midwest Supply, are working hard to make that, well, the whole event, really, but I know that they want to really make that VIP dinner something else. And so not only is it going to be this great food, but we're looking for different bottles of beer. And, you know, we'll talk to you about it, whether it be a dessert that we do with you or some of the, one of the dishes. I can't think of a better pairing.
Absolutely not. I mean, and that's, you know, that's why we do these things. If you want to separate your tasting event or, you know, your private party or your dinner away from the normal beer tasting or wine tasting, it's mead all the way.
Yeah. So what did you send us this week?
Kurt's apple pie.
Now, is that my buddy who I like to make fun of, Kurt Stock?
No, it's Kurt Demmer.
Oh, a different Kurt. Okay. Because Kurt Stock, I know, makes some great mead, too. Yes. So I thought maybe it was one of his recipes.
Kurt Stock is spelled with a C, not with a K.
Oh, got it. See, I don't even know him that well. I don't care.
It should be with a K, really. Let's be honest.
It's because his parents were a little dumb. Don't blame me. You know?
Well, they both have a K sound, so I figured.
So who is the other Kurt? Friend of yours?
Yeah, I've known Kurt since 1982. One of my best friends. My best friend.
And did you guys kind of, at least in the mead learning, grow up making mead together?
Well, back in 95, I started homebrewing, and Kurt and I have been pretty competitive since we met back in 1982. It was girls and cars and college and everything.
Right.
And
Journey.
When he saw me starting a brewery, he wanted to start brewing some mead. And his first batch, he gave me a 5-gallon keg of it, and it's still in the basement waiting for it to get better.
Right.
When he came by with a bottle of Kurt's apple pie, I was a little hesitant, so I talked him out of trying to drink it that day, and we started brewing beer, and he left me the bottle. Months go by, if not a couple of years, I see this bottle in my basement. I'm like, oh, what the hell is this stuff? And I open it up, and it smells like apple pie, and I proceeded to drink the whole 750 and didn't realize it was 17% alcohol and was out like a light.
Wow.
And the next day, I called him up. I said, Kurt, I need another bottle. He said, no. I said, come on, I'll give you $100, one more bottle.
Wow.
Best mead I've ever had. And he said, Michael, it was my last bottle. And I said, there's no way you gave me a last bottle. And he said, well, it wasn't when I gave it to you, but I loved it and I drank it. And I said, you're going to make some more? He goes, yeah, I'll make some more. I've known that yeah line since 1982. It means he ain't doing jack.
Right.
And when I started my company, I quit my day job back in 2010. Kurt came over to the house with a bottle of mead that I made back in 1996. Had a little dot matrix printer label on it and everything. And I'm looking at the bottle, and I look at him, and I say, why the hell have you held on to this so long? He said, Michael, I always knew you made the best mead I was ever going to try, and I thought you were going to go pro someday, and I wanted to hang on to this to the day you did.
Wow.
He said, I can never help you and your company. You tell me. And I said, I need that apple pie mead, and he gave it to me. So I put his name on the bottle.
Oh, that's cool, man. What a good story. You guys like each other after all.
Yeah, we're still friends.
A little.
We've torn each other up a few times after going to the Mazer Cup and the AHA conferences, but you know, it's all good.
Very nice. Well, that's a good tribute. A nice thing to be able to do when you go pro, put your friend's name on there. So tell us about the Kurt's apple pie, because in reading the label, it's not a straight mead like we've been trying before.
Yeah, this one's actually a metheglin, so you got honey and apple and spices. So we dilute the honey with 25% honey, 75% apple cider. It's fresh pressed. We get it right from the local farm down the street. No sulfites added. And we pitch in a Lavalin 71B yeast to it. We ferment at 62 degrees for about 3 months. And once it's done fermenting, we transfer it to secondary. And that's where we add Madagascar bourbon, vanilla beans, and Vietnamese cinnamon.
Wow. Okay.
Now, so it's going to have some sweetness to it, JP. So it's, and Justin, it's not going to be bone dry like the last one.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, that's the first thing that we did notice, not just in the flavor, but even initially in the aroma. It does have quite a bit of sweetness. But I also wanted to point out that even in the aroma, you also get some tartness, too. It's not all sweet.
That's right. Sorry, just drinking some myself.
That's okay.
The apples, it's a, this is a early season apple, which has a little more tannin in it than the later season apples, which are a little sweeter still. So, you know, depending on where you get your apples and what kind of blend it's going to be, if you're drinking all Macintosh cider, it's going to come out a lot sweeter and flabbier than this one, which has a little bit more different types of apples blended in with it.
Okay.
Like Gallas and some of the other besides Max.
And what is the overall point of doing an apple a cider blend instead of just all honey? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for the complexity of the what the apple adds, so that we can get some of the tannins to balance out the honey. The first meat I ever tried back in '95 was a sizer, and I always loved the apple honey combination.
Okay.
And the fact that you can push it up to 17% alcohol doesn't hurt either.
Sure. Now you called this a metheglend, if I got that right in the beginning.
Yeah, it's actually an open category, so it's, you know, fruit and spice.
And so is a sizer a metheglend? Are they one and the same?
No, a sizer is a apple and honey mead, which is a Melomel. So the BJCP classifies this as open category, but it doesn't really fit into anything nice and easy.
I see. And because it has spices added to it also. Right. Yeah. Okay.
And your listeners never want to add spices in primary, because that would just, the aromatics would come right out during primary fermentation.
Oh, okay.
I always want to add your spices in secondary so the aroma stays with the flavor.
So I think you said that this ferments for 3 months.
Yes.
How long of that is primary, and then when secondary?
Well, we're doing it at about 62 degrees, so we're slowing it down intentionally.
Okay.
So that we can keep the higher alcohol notes out of it. It's one of my trademarks, is not to have it too spicy from fusel notes.
I see. Okay.
Which is a good thing. You can get some of those meads that, you know, they're fermented in the mid-70s, and it's just like, wow.
I see.
That's crazy.
And Justin, I had a lady call the meadery, and she said, boy, I love these single-serve size bottles.
Well, when you compare it to a wine bottle,
party with that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell my mom to stop calling you. So, but still, I guess for our listeners, since you mentioned not to add it in primary, can you still give me an idea of how much of that is primary? Is all 3 months primary for you?
Yeah, pretty much. It slows down pretty significantly after the first month. But, you know, it's still, what you're looking for is, yes, it's sitting on the yeast bed, but we're not fermenting in conicals. Think of it like a carboy.
Okay.
But a 1,000-gallon size one. And, you know, it's basically, the yeast does settle out to the bottom. You want the fruit pulp to drop. And that's what you're trying to do, is get the clarity so that you're not racking it every single day and you know, losing percentage every time you rack it.
And is the clarity I'm seeing in this just done naturally, or do you end up filtering this?
We do filter everything.
Okay.
We joke with our customers and tell them we don't want to see a bee wing make it into the bottle. But it's
cool.
One lady got really grossed out with that comment.
So you stopped doing it.
But it's basically, we're striving for consistency as we go. You know, we're in, I think, 30 states now. So it's been crazy how fast everything's been rolling.
Wow. That's just fantastic. Now, it does bring me, talking about how it looks and the filtering brings me to another question I had. So this one is back to that kind of natural yellow color that we've seen from a lot of your meads. But when we've gotten one like with a fruit in it, it'll have a different color. So I guess my question is, do all meads have this yellow color unless you're adding some sort of fruit that changes it?
Yes.
Okay.
So the fruit, it consists of what goes into it. So what the fruit is that's in the mead will change the color completely.
Got it. And this one being apple cider, it's pretty much the same color as the honey anyway. So yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Apples and honey is a wildly underrated combination. I don't know if you know this, but it's a Jewish tradition on Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year in like September, is you dip apples into honey. And I could not imagine having something better to pair with it than this. But yeah, it's a great combo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if you put this with like cheddar cheese, or think of this as like your after Thanksgiving dinner wine, you know, screw the pie, drink some of this.
Right.
Right.
No, and in my family, I need some 17% dessert. So I think you mentioned earlier that you only mentioned adding cinnamon to this.
No, Madagascar bourbon, vanilla beans, and Vietnamese cinnamon.
Okay, I guess what I meant was spice-wise. In other words, I guess what I'm getting at is it tastes and smells like apple pie, but doesn't have an overwhelming nutmeg flavor. Which we talk about when we do like our pumpkin beer shows and things like that you have to be careful with that spice. However, I still kind of taste that in there because it tastes just like an apple pie. I guess maybe that's just coming from the vanilla.
Yeah, what happens, Justin, and I did an experiment one year, if you make something, like I made a mead with apple pie spices with no apples, people swore it had apples in it.
Okay.
So it's all the preconceived notion of what you're expecting, and you smell and it smells and tastes similar enough to apple pie that you're like, oh yeah, you get a little nutmeg in the back. That's pretty much what sommeliers are doing when they're talking about, oh, I get a whiff of leather.
I see.
Don't know what the hell they're talking about, but you know, I think it's got to do with the preconceived notion of it.
That makes sense. And it makes me think, you know, Nathan, when we're talking about like pumpkin beers and stuff, and warning people about the allspice and things like that, maybe these vanilla beans that Michael is using could be a good alternative to add to the expectation rather than going overboard with all those stupid spices.
You get a lot of complexity out of the spices that he's using in this. Yeah. You wouldn't need to do, say, for example, ginger or cardamom or something crazy that like that, or nutmeg, you know.
You could maybe do a little cinnamon.
I mean, I got a little nutmeg. I got star anise also a little bit, some clove.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's the Vietnamese cinnamon. I've never used it before, but I hear it has a lot more complexity than the cinnamon that we think about.
Okay.
As stuff you guys think about is fake.
Yeah.
The real stuff is actually from a cinnamon tree, and that's what the Vietnamese cinnamon is. You can use 10 times less, and you get 10 times more flavor.
Okay.
The hell's the fake stuff made out of? Is it just chemicals?
Sugar.
Really? Wow, I have no idea.
Sugar and bullshit. It says it right in the bottle. In different words.
More you know.
But, you know, what I like about this meat is, you know, it's not overwhelming tart. It's not overwhelming apple. It's not overwhelming spice. It still lets the honey through. And that's really the foundation for all these things, obviously, right? So, but it's the brightness of the honey. And I don't know if it's accentuated because of the cider or whatever, but it's not just kind of you know, underlying. It's there's a bright honey, like a daisy honey or like a bee pollen kind of richness in the honey that you don't really get out of anything. And it's, I don't know, I think it's interesting how it's showing through, even though it's, you know, sharing room with
the
other stuff.
Yeah.
Apple and all the spices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really balanced.
We were in Atlantic City for the Beer Fest a couple weekends ago, and we went through 46 cases of mead in 3 sessions.
Wow.
My elbow still hurts. Pulling the corks out of the bottles.
Right. Oh. Right.
I thought you were just really happy about your success. You know?
My elbows hurt. Fantastic. Well,
it's a fapping injury.
It's another awesome mead. I look forward to trying more. And what I really like about these tastes is get to talk to you about it, Michael, is how much we get to learn about the process that you reveal to us. But just the different ingredients. And even if you're not a mead person, I feel like this is, like I was saying, a good example of how it translates over to beer, too. It's the same use of ingredients, you know?
Yeah, less is more when it comes to spices. I mean, I'm a big fan of beer, and just the other night, I got to try some of Tasty's double IPA from the long shot competition.
Oh, nice.
And it's held up pretty good.
Wow.
And, how old is it?
That's
it's
old.
It's like 4 years old.
Yeah.
Wow, a double IPA?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was rather impressed when they pulled it out of the box. I'm like, okay, let's see how this is going to be. But
I got 4 cases. Maybe I'm sitting on something.
Yeah.
But the spices just, if if everybody thought of them as just trying to be like, you know how you watch somebody curling and the guy with the broom is trying to dust the shit out of the way so the ball or whatever, the stone, can just coast in?
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to do with your spices. Just tee it up for it and just don't nail it to the wall. Just let it coast there.
And you make an excellent point about how the brain is doing the rest of the work already. Our expectations are getting us the rest of the way. So, yeah, just tee it up and let the brain do the work.
Very cool.
Yeah, I like it. This is good stuff. I also wanted to know, you know, even though you talked about making the fusel alcohol subdued by fermenting at a lower temperature, a nice thing about this is that even though it's initially sweet, in the aftertaste, and actually after you have a few drinks, the alcohol content, I think, does start to sneak up a little bit.
Well, 17%, right?
But it levels out the sweetness.
Yeah.
So that it's not just compounding sweetness on your palate.
Yeah.
It starts to remove it for you a little bit, and I like it.
Yeah, the tartness from the apples does that also.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the funniest things we see when we do tastings in public, and this last weekend I was down in Baltimore, and the first account I went to, you know, the distributor said, okay, we'll have you come along to do a work with. Walked into one account, sold in 10 minutes, sold the warehouse out of all the product they had.
Wow.
They're like, okay, what's for the rest of the day? Let's go drink.
Yeah. Let's go have a good time. I can't believe you're in 30 states now, Michael.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's still rolling. The Western states are coming painfully slow.
I see.
I'm going to have a meeting this week with our brand agent to try to put the metal to the fire here on this thing. But the more your fans and our listeners or your listeners can ask, and if not ask, demand my mead at their local stores and restaurants,
okay,
the better it's going to be. We went to 5 accounts in Baltimore. All 5 accounts are going to pull in the product. But it's a little, you know, terrifying to me to see a account say, okay, I'm willing to buy some. I'll take 2 bottles.
Right.
Well, what the hell?
Yeah. Give me a break.
It's not really a commitment. That's kind of like, yeah, I like it, but I don't think anybody's going to pay for it. Where we sell 400 to 500 cases per month just here in New Hampshire. And, you know, I can tell you some of the big craft brew places out in California are buying quite a bit. Like Kinetic just picked up like over 11 cases in their last order. And wow. They moved through that very quickly.
It's perfect, I think, for a place like Kinetic. It's a brew pub. To be able to carry a fermented beverage close to beer that's not wine.
Yes.
You know, so you can offer something to those folks who are going to the brew pub not looking for beer, you know. So I can see why Kinetic would do that. It's good stuff. Are you distributed in Pennsylvania?
It's within days, I think.
Okay, good. I only ask because with the party, we might have to address that. But either way, we'll get you
come
there.
Come hell or high water, I'm going to make that happen.
You're the man.
There'll be some very stern conversations if that hasn't happened with 6 months lead time.
Right. Understood. All right, Michael. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. And another fine job on Kurt's apple pie, dude. It's good stuff.
Cool. I'll be out in Chicago this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then out in Arizona for the Arizona Mead Cup the remainder of the week.
Beautiful. Cool. All right, go see Michael if you're out in Arizona. I know we got a lot of listeners there. So,
cool. Rock on, guys.
Thanks,
be
Michael.
Stronger.
Talk Thanks, to you buddy. Soon. Cheers. Bye. There you go. Good dude and good mead. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to speak to Bernie Siberwasser. He's going to have to tell me his name right.
Siberwasser.
I'm going to screw it up like I do everybody's name. Silberwasser. Bogota Beer Company in Bogota, Colombia. I'll get him on the line when we come back in just a couple minutes. Hang in there. It's The Session.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you a member of the American Homebrewers Association? Well, you should be. Members of the AHA can focus on brewing beer, and the AHA takes care of the rest. The American Homebrewers Association advocates on behalf of homebrewers like you to legalize the hobby in all 50 states and make sure that beer laws make sense. Plus, there are many great benefits that come with your AHA membership, like AHA member deals that give you awesome deals at bars, restaurants, breweries, and more. Zymergy Magazine and Ease Zymergy
Energy for tons of articles, how-tos, easy-to-follow recipes, and news about the hobby you love, and access to the members-only content on homebrewersassociation.org. But the AHA can't do it without your support. Join today so the American Homebrewers Association can keep fighting for your homebrewing rights. Visit homebrewersassociation.org or join now from the homepage of the Brewing Network website. Relax. Don't worry. It's the American Homebrewers Association.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry, and to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, keystonehomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online, or when you come into our store, it's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com. I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
I-10, huh? Getting tired of the same old handcrafted beverages day after day? Are you looking for something with more diversity than your normal beer? Fellow BN Army member Michael Fairbrother, owner of Moonlight Meadery, is reviving an entire beverage category. Mead!
The meads at Moonlight Meadery are all handcrafted from the finest honey on the market and are perfect for any occasion, like weddings, baby showers, or...
Excuse me? Mead is not your average girly drink, mister, and Moonlight Meads can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere. Football games with the guys.
Yeah.
Barbecues with the guys.
Yeah.
Operating power tools with the guys.
Yeah. Actually, sir, that's really dangerous.
Good point, son.
Next time you have something to celebrate or are just looking for a new tasting experience, pick up a bottle of mead from Moonlight Meadery. Now in 21 states, making over 60 varieties of mead from dry, semi-sweet to sweet.
Break out of that craft beer lull. Grab a bottle of Moonlight Mead. Can't find some? Then ask. No, make that demand some.
Yeah!
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zanishev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
What'd you get?
More brewing ingredients?
Yep.
You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse?
The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally high.
Oh, yeah.
What's funny is, brewers just say, yeah, I don't brew to style. I'm brewing my own beer. And it's like a German Pilsner, but it's black.
Yeah, it's a sports beer. Beer. You know?
The home of Log Beer Radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck.
You're listening to The Session.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the program, 888-401-BEER. If you want to call in and ask questions to us or our next guest, you can also hit the chat button right there on the homepage, and we'll take your questions that way. Bevo's in there, and she'll send them over to me. I missed a mead question there. I'm sorry about that. I saw we had one for Michael, but...
there were two of them.
I was too busy yapping about how good the mead was, and I missed it. So we'll get it in next time. We'll do another tasting next month, I think. And
you're probably drunk. That's why.
After the 17% mead.
Yeah.
And yeah, it could be. I'm kind of with the lady who called in to Michael and said, oh, I like the single serving bottles. There's no way I'm opening that bottle and not finishing it.
No, there's no way.
But then again, I'm an alcoholic.
We got to find a friend.
You do?
Especially one that has panties to get dropped.
Yes, that's right.
Because it is a panty dropper.
Yeah, Bevo came up for seconds. I think we're going to see... Are we going to see nice Bevo tonight?
No, I gave it to Sam because he's already drinking, and so I have to drive home, and if I drink that, then we're sleeping here.
So no nice Bevo.
No, I'm going to be a bitch.
That, the studio couch folds out into a bed.
I don't care.
Okay. Just trying to help. All right, Barry Silbervosser is on the line. He's from Bogota Beer Company in Bogota, Colombia. Barry, Bernie. My apologies, Bernie. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Justin.
Bernie, I screw up everybody's name, and then you get a moderately long last name like yours.
Forget
and it throws me off everywhere. Say your name for me so I can stop being an idiot all night.
Don't worry, it's Bernie Silbervosser.
There we go. Oh, and it's a German last name, Silbervosser.
It is.
Was that your ancestry then?
Yeah.
And is that where you got the beer bug from?
No, it helps to sell beer, but my father... didn't have anything to do with beer.
Oh, I see. But it must help to sell beer. You know, I found that, in fact, in other South American and Latin American countries, it was the Germans who brought the beer there. If you look at the Mexican style of beers and...
they're just German lagers.
They're all German lagers, right? What about the other beer that's not yours, Bernie, in Colombia? Is it also German influenced?
Yeah, it was created in the 1890s, about, by a German immigrant called Leo Kopp. And it's still, that brewery holds 99% of the market.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the U.S., too. It's the same difference here. I think that market's dropping a little bit, but, you know, it's still a big deal. Same thing.
Exactly.
Is it a light lager like we have here? We call it light American lager, but... I suppose that's not
what
it's called.
Yeah, they sell pretty much all light lagers.
Yeah.
But now, because, you know, we came into the market 10 years ago.
Okay.
And we were very successful with the pale ales, red ale, and now they came with a red beer and a black beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's good. We make them move a bit.
Yeah, you got a bit. You know, that's funny. We see that happening here, too, because as soon as you start to dip into their market share, Bernie, they got to make the beer you're making.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, you know, but that's good for the customers. They are now they're trying different beers, different styles, and like 10 years ago that didn't happen here.
I see. So, but before we talk about your brewery specifically, help us understand the city, Bogota, and the country and what the beer scene is like there. Before you opened, were there craft beer options for people?
No, there were no craft beers options. And Colombia, it's the capital of Bogota is the capital of Colombia. Bogota is a city of more than 7 million people.
Wow.
It's pretty much the same weather all the time. We have an altitude of 2,600 meters.
Okay.
Over sea level, so it's pretty cold most of the time.
Okay.
So it helps to drink different beers, stouts and pale ales and beers like that. So the weather helps. We started, there were breweries before, but it's been a strong monopoly, even not only in Colombia, but around Latin America. You find markets managed by one or two breweries at the most. So for us, it was difficult to get into the market. So what we did is like, we start brewing different beers, but we start selling them into our own pubs. So we created a chain of pubs. And that's legal in Colombia. It's not like in the States that you cannot do your, you know, the tight house business. So we did that. And that way we start putting the beer into people's hands, different beers. And the competition could not do anything about it. So that's the way we grew up. And then we built a nice chain of pubs. And now we have the beer in supermarkets and other restaurants. So but it took us like, yes, go ahead.
Well, I just want to make sure I understand. So it sounds like you would have been unable to get distribution of your beer. So instead, as a means of self-distributing, you just opened several brew pubs.
Several pubs. Actually, we brew in one location.
Oh, okay.
In one, you know, we had one microbrewery and different pubs where we sell our beer. But yes,
Okay.
That's what we did.
Okay. And is each pub called Bogota Brewing Company?
Bogota Beer Company, yes.
Beer Company. Yes. And so yes. Then the one, you have one production facility that makes the beer for all of those locations.
Yes, we do.
Got it. See, you're a smart guy. How are we going to get around getting our beer out there? All right, fuck it. We'll open our own places. That's smart.
Yep, that's what we did.
Okay.
And people enjoy it. And you should check it out, BogotaBeerCompany.com.
Okay. Yeah, go there, BogotaBeerCompany.com. You can look into it and see what we're talking about. Maybe you come up with your own questions. 888-401-BEER. Hit the chat button. What got you into the beer scene originally, Bernie, before you started?
Oh, originally? I'm an entrepreneur, and I had a trip with my brother to California in 1994, 1995, and I got inspired by Gordon Biersch, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And yep, so I saw their restaurants making beer. I tried the beers. It was amazing beer. I said, wow.
Was that here in California that you saw them?
That was in California, actually, in Palo Alto.
Okay, yep.
And then I came back and I started reading a lot of the Inc. magazine and the Inc. 500, and I started seeing like the, you know, microbreweries growing. That was, you know, 1994, 97, those years.
Yeah.
So I graduated from college in 97 and I went to learn how to brew, and I came back and opened my first brew pub in 1997.
Where did you go to learn to brew?
I went to Atlanta, to Georgia.
Okay. Do you remember, was it a university or?
Yeah, no, it was a brew pub. A friend got me the internship there.
Okay.
I just went there to learn. It was a brew pub in Buckhead, I think.
Okay. Bernie, let me tell you what I like right off the bat. And Tasty, I think you're going to like this too. You got a whole bunch of co-hosts in here, by the way, Bernie. So you'll hear JP and Scott and Tasty and Nathan all asking you questions. Well. But here's what I like. You're an entrepreneur. You see that there's money in the business, and you think, I'm going to go into the business. And instead of just opening some shitty beer place, you go to learn how to make beer. And a lot of entrepreneurs who get into craft beer might skip the learn how to make beer step. And you went to learn how to make beer. I like that.
Yeah, I did that. I'm not the best brewer, but yeah, I know how to brew, and we brew here.
Okay.
And then we get some advice. I have a very good friend, and he's our advisor. He's been our advisor for 15 years. So... he comes. He used to come twice a year, and now he's working. We have a brewery together in Panama. So what we did in Colombia, we're doing it in Panama.
Wow, oh. This is fantastic! You're building a beer empire down there.
Yeah, we enjoy making good beers, and people are enjoying it. So it's fun. It's really fun.
So to start up, here you have. What I would think most people in Colombia might think is a crazy idea if others haven't done it. You have this idea to build a production brewery and these pubs. How do you get the money? I mean, how did you afford to start this thing?
At the beginning, you know, I have already done two startups. The beginning I did, I got it with family members. And then after a few years, we didn't get along and I get out of that company.
Okay.
And then in 2000, I started again with my savings, and then we did the Bogota Beer Company.
So what'd you do? Did you buy a brewery that somebody already had? You did.
That's what we did. I get into Agertang on the internet, and that was in 2000 or something. And we got a brew pub that went bankrupt in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
We got the equipment, we brought it here, and we started brewing again.
Beautiful.
Was that kind of worrisome? Like, I'm going to buy this system to try and execute a business that has the one I'm buying it from has failed.
Right. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds scary. And you put up your life savings on that or what?
Yeah. We put all the savings in that, and then we started again. We used that equipment. I think they had been using that equipment for 10 years before they closed the brew pub.
Okay.
And then we used it for, I think, 3 years from 2002 until 2005, 2006, nonstop. It was a 7-barrel system.
Okay.
From pub brewing, and we brew every day and night.
Wow.
Until we had to change it.
Wow. Yeah, a seven-barrel system.
Wow.
So at that time, then, did you had the production facility that this brewery went into. Did you also have the first pub open at the same time?
Exactly. Okay. What we did is we create demand. So once we create demand, we start adding fermenters. Right. So that's how we grew for so many years that way.
And you were just doing English-style ales at that time?
Yeah, at the beginning we were doing English-style ales. And a few years ago, we started adding like Belgian-style beers. Okay. And now we make a lager. We make a lager all year round.
Got it. So what did people think with this first pub that you opened and you're serving these English beers? Was it a hard sell?
No, it was good. You know, we sorry?
Well, I just wonder how if you had to really educate people, or did they were looking for something new?
Oh yeah, no, we had to educate people.
Yeah,
but you know, we were lucky. People now they are traveling more. They're going in. You know, when I went to learn English, I went to the States. Now Colombians who can afford it are going to England, so they get exposed to the pop culture.
Got it.
So it was easier, and you know, even though we did ales, we started with a porter, a pale ale, I think it was more like an amber ale, in a kelch, but we Colombianized them a bit. You know, we make them easy to drink. It's still with character, with more character than the normal beers you can find here.
Okay.
But you know, they were still like easy drinking beers, and that's how we introduced them into craft brewing.
So you don't want to hit everybody over the head with some completely different beer. You got to ease them into it.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, and since 3 years ago, we started doing IPA.
Oh, yeah.
We do an IPA, and we put 90 IBUs in there, and now it is selling like crazy. So now we're doing, like, the IPA six times a year. We used to do one once a year.
You're getting hooked on them hops.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can see how the market is changing. Now new microbreweries coming into the market. You know, it's evolving.
You know what's funny about the IPA palate, and I've learned this a little bit through my friends in France.
Is that uneducated?
You know the Frenchies that are doing this.
Sure.
In the U.S., to get light lager drinkers into craft beer, you don't give them an IPA. If you do, you're probably going to fail. It's the other side of the spectrum, and it's exactly what they don't like about beer. But in France, for example, that's what our friends went straight for. They went for the hoppy beers. They gave that to the Parisians, and they loved it instantly because it was so different than the American light lager. And for that matter, the light lager that, you know, the Stella and things like that they're drinking there. And it sounds like, Bernie, you're having a similar experience, that because it's on the other side of the spectrum is why it's working.
Yeah, we still have the beers that are very session beers and very sociable in the pubs, but we're coming out with these triples and IPAs, and people are loving it. You know, you cannot find it anywhere else, and they're very, very solid. So
that's great news. Now, at the risk of sound, I don't have to work very hard at this. At the risk of sounding like an uneducated American
person, we don't need to get American person native about it. Come on.
Well, in Bogota, is there political instability and obstacles that you face? Is it dangerous? Have any of your pubs had any issues with some of the politics of your country?
No, Colombia has improved a lot. It's one of the countries that is growing the most in Latin America.
Okay.
We had a great president in the last 80 years, and now we have a great president again. And it's changing, you know. You see it changing, and the economy keeps growing. And, no, it has benefited the business because of that.
And the free market, I mean, you were able to find a way to open these pubs to distribute the beer, so it sounds like you have a very reasonable free market as well.
Yeah, you know, you have to understand, but the law to get the sanitary register was fun because all the beers were pasteurized because the laws were done by the big breweries. So, we have
like
to
here.
Work a lot on it.
Okay. And that's the same as here. The big breweries did that, and it's taken some time to open those things up.
But everything else, it's not that hard to open a business in Colombia if you do it well.
Okay.
So it's an open market. It's a very democratic country. So, yeah, it has changed a lot. It's a big country. So, you know, to to go from one city to other is very difficult. So you think, oh, something happened in Colombia, but it's probably like 5 hours from the capital, you know, so you don't feel it here in the capital that much.
I see.
You know, Jay, you were saying that you don't know much about Colombia and whatever, and, you know, basically what I've learned from Colombia, I've learned from watching Romancing the Stone.
I see.
Yeah. So yes. I know Cartagena is real beautiful.
A brilliant 80s movie.
Yeah. And, you know.
And that's that.
Whenever someone says they have a mule, it's not really a mule. It's a big old lifted truck.
I see. Yeah. Well, Bernie, the reason I bring it up in the way that I did, too, is actually because I have in my notes that your first pub had a grenade explode inside of it. And I just wondered maybe how the hell that happened.
Yeah, that was random. They, you know, that's what happened with terrorist attacks. They want to call the attention.
I see.
And, you know, we just opened, I think we opened in April, and that happened in November in 2003.
Okay.
If I'm not wrong. And, you know, we were full with people, and they just wanted to call the attention, and they did. But the good thing is we just opened next day, we opened the doors again.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, so that was pretty amazing. I think that helped us a lot after that, and people saw the character and support us, you know, since then.
That is amazing. So a person came in and let off a grenade, and I assume there was damage to the building?
Yeah, there was a little bit of damage to the building, but that wasn't the most important part. You know, we had 70 people got injured, which was very sad, and one person passed away. So, you know, that was very unfortunate.
But you were able to open the very next day.
Yes, we did.
That's amazing.
Who were the perpetrators?
No, they just... It was the guerrilla group here in Colombia. They just, you know, just wanted to call the attention and create some news at that moment.
And here's this new busy pub in the capital.
Yeah.
So blow that up to get some attention.
Well, it's just like someone on the left, just like a Democrat, right?
What?
You know what leftist guerrillas. I mean, that's who they were. Yeah. That's quite a jump.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing to hear. And that you, now, was there some... Did people want to come back in the doors the next day?
It was tough. What we did is, like, friends and employees, you know, it broke my heart. Next day, you know, some employees, they were the first job they were working. And 12 o'clock, they were with their uniforms ready to work again.
Wow.
So, that's really cool.
Gave some of courage.
That is really cool. A lot of courage. Yeah. Because at the Brewing Network, we all would still be in bed curled up under a blanket.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You
I
know,
don't even want to be here when there's not a grenade.
Well, right. There was almost, you know, a part of our studio is underneath or is above a river or a little estuary.
Whatever. Yeah.
And there was a threat of a flood. Nobody wanted to even come and check it to see if we could come in.
Right. So, to even see if the building was flooding.
Even the threat of a lot of water keeps us away.
You see, Bernie, we're a bunch of pussies over here. That's what we're getting at.
So, forgive me
like
if this is...
Brewing Network, you know, you can't even...
If this is a stupid question, but did anybody ever get prosecuted? These are just faceless, nameless rebel fighters, and they just sort of disappeared into the night?
Oh, no, it happened, you know, our guard, if you come to our places in Colombia, we have a guard in each location, and our guard actually catch the person who threw the grenade.
Oh, he did?
Wow.
So he, like, tackled him as he was running away?
Exactly.
Wow.
So... The person is in jail right now.
Wow, okay.
Did you get to punch him in the face before they took him away, Bernie?
No. It was very scary. It's one of the worst nights of my life.
I bet.
Sounds like it.
In fact, just to open... I mean, how did you decide that night, okay, I'm scared to death. This is the worst thing. I couldn't even imagine this happening. We're going to open up tomorrow.
Yeah, but it wasn't my decision like that. You know, we get ready. We were building the second location. So I called the constructor, the architect, and then we put all the people who were helping to build the second location. You know, they came back that night, and then we cleaned the place and we organized the terrace again, and then and next day we were ready to open, but we were not sure. We were like thinking, oh, should we open, you know, what if you know, a person died? We were really touched by it. We still get
I bet
touched.
Yeah.
But there is a very journalist that is very that influenced a lot here in Colombia, and he came to us and said, "Hey guys, what are you thinking? You know, are you ready to open?" He said, "Yeah, we are ready to open, but we don't know. You know, we're very, you know, one person died," and he said, "You know, you should open, and I help you open and support you, because if you don't open, you just, you know, you're going to ruin your business, but not only your business, but the whole area." Because we were in an area that is full of restaurants and bars.
Okay.
So we were going to affect the whole area if we didn't open. And people say, okay, nobody wants to go there because it's dangerous and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons we decided to open and you know, and nothing happened to the area.
Good.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you can't let them win, right? I mean, this is what they want, is to disrupt citizens' lives. And if you open your business and go on to have 10 years of wild success like you did, well, you have had the last laugh, haven't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, we get pushed a bit, and that was a very good advice.
Well, that is a scary story. It's a strong thing to do. I'm sorry to have to bring it up. I know it must still be difficult, but it was just, it's too, I mean, we just needed to hear about that. So, Bernie, thank you for discussing that with us. I appreciate it.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. Thank you.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk more about the beer. I want to find out about ingredients and where you're getting ingredients and what you're using and things like that, because it's a whole different region, so I'd like to know about more of that. So can you hang out for a couple minutes?
Perfect. Don't worry.
Great. We'll take a quick break. We've got Bernie from Bogota Beer Company on the line from Colombia, and what a fascinating story we got going on here. 888-401-BEER, or hit the chat button if you got questions. We'll be right back. It's The Session.
You're listening to The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today. Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients, and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their new SnapLock stainless steel camlock fittings will make connecting your pump or heat exchanger quick and easy. Or check out their exclusive paintball tank-based draft beer equipment. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific Time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Hear Blickman Engineering. Think innovation, passion, quality, and customer service. Blickman Gear is designed by brewers to give you a sense of pride in your equipment. At Blickman, they know what makes brewing a pain and build gear that makes it fun. Like the intuitive beer gun, a completely different approach to filling bottles. The Therminator wort chiller, a new take on a plate chiller that's sized for flow, performance, and the high groundwater temps homebrewers face every day. The Brewmometer, a brilliant weldless thermometer design with brewing parameters right on the dial. The Auto Sparge, ultimate simplicity for preventing an overflow or running your mash tun dry.
and much more, like the modular top-tier brewing stand, conical fermenters, and their Boilermaker brew pots. With more cutting-edge equipment coming soon, keep up with the latest from Blickman at BlickmanEngineering.com and stay on the cutting edge.
In my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
BN Army HopTech has a great discount waiting for you. Do you often find it difficult to find specific specialty ingredients for your home brew recipes? Well, listen to this. HopTech stocks 59 different grains to choose from, 39 varieties of pellet hops, and 8 kinds of whole leaf hops. And HopTech not only carries Y yeast and White Labs yeast for you, but also Fermentus, 04, 5, 6, 23, 33, and T58 Belgian yeast, plus Cooper's, Nottingham, and Windsor yeasts. Got your recipe ready to go? Pick up some great brew gear like new long and short sleeved shirts, games, and more. HopTech's new website is being updated every day with new items. If you don't see it, call the shop. They're open 6 days a week. BN Army and AHA members get a 10% discount, and active military personnel get 15% off. Visit HopTech.com today for great selection, great service, and a great discount. HopTech.com.
Mix me your 100-grain amber recipe, and I'm going to eat it. And then it can ferment in my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
Beer. This is The Session.
Thanks so much for sticking with us through the break. We're talking to Bogota Beer Company right now. You can go to BogotaBeerCompany.com. If my pronunciation sucks, it's B-O-G-O-T-A, BeerCompany.com.
Bogota.
You might have to speak Spanish to read through the beer descriptions on there, but there are beer descriptions on there and contacts and where to find Bogota if you're headed to Colombia. They're in the capital there. And we're talking to Bernie right now. You still on the line with us, Bernie?
Yes, I'm here, Justin.
Wonderful. Thanks for hanging out. And so I wanted to ask more about the beer itself, and how about ingredients, especially being one of the first, sounds like the first successful craft beer company down there. How did you source ingredients that you need?
Since years ago, we've been working with Breeze Malting for the specialty malt.
Okay.
And Colombia, we don't produce good barley. And so we bring the Turo barley from Chile and the specialty malt from Breeze, and the hops. Also, we don't grow hops in this area.
Okay.
Because we are on the equatorial line. So we bring it from Hopsteiner. So we use some German hops from Hopsteiner and Yakima hops.
So you were founded in 2002. Were you able to contact Breeze and Hopsteiner, for that matter, and say, I need ingredients in Colombia. Can you get them?
Yeah, what we do usually is like we ship everything to Miami, and then from Miami we get our forwarder, and then we bring it into Colombia.
So you have, for example, your hops, maybe this is an obvious question, but they're more expensive than me getting hops. You have to mark that up in your beer, I assume.
Oh, of course, yeah. We have to import them, and then we buy hops for about 2-3 months. We buy malt for 4 months.
Okay.
So yeah, that affects a bit. And the hops at the beginning, we used to get it from hop union, but after the hop shortage,
yeah,
you know, they were not able to supply us anymore, so we switched to Hopsteiner, and since then we've been working with them successfully.
Was that scary for you? I know American brewers that were scared about the hop shortage because they couldn't contract hops. I can't imagine finding that your supplier just says, yeah, that's it, no more.
Oh, that was very scary. I remember that was December, like November, December.
Yeah.
And I learned so much about hops during that time.
I bet.
It was, so, and I remember I contacted a hop producer, hop growers in Australia, even in Argentina, everywhere, trying to look in Slovenia.
Wow.
Even trying to look for hops.
Just somebody who would send you something.
Exactly, exactly.
And were you, I mean, I guess brewers everywhere were doing this, but you must have been looking for substitutions, different hops for the same recipes that you were already doing.
Excuse me, I didn't get that one?
Well, I guess you had a hop supplier and you had your recipes set, and now you had to find a new hop supplier. Did you also have to find different varieties of hops that would work?
Yeah, we have to adapt a bit, and yeah. What we did is... We this time we asked the supplier what they are not going to have a shortage, and then we adapt, we recalculate the formulas and recipes.
I see. And you're doing English ales, so were you mostly English hops, English varieties anyway?
Yeah, we use Golding.
Yeah, okay.
We actually use U.S. Golding, but now we're using Hallertau. You know, we're bringing a lot of hops from Germany.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Oh, they're good hops.
For the IPA, we're lucky enough to get a Amarillo and Centennial Columbus.
Beautiful.
Amarillo's my favorite. It's one of my favorite hops.
It's so great.
Yeah.
You know, I was such an Amarillo fanboy, right, when it came out. And
yeah.
And I went away from it a little bit. And then I think it was our guest last week.
Yeah, Half Acre.
Half Acre that turned me onto it again, because it was such a great pail that they use it in.
But it's also been unavailable widely for a long period of time, and it's kind of back in the market now.
This is the first year there was more than one farm growing it.
Well,
a lot more pounds of it around.
I see. Now, you mentioned that your IPA is popular. What's your most popular beer that you make down there, Bernie?
Actually, the most popular beer is the Amber Pale Ale.
Okay.
That's the most popular.
And
we call it Roja, Monserrate Roja, we call it.
Oh, I see that on your site here.
What is it called?
That's only 30 IBUs.
Oh, okay. Monserrate Roja, JP.
Yes.
I'm seeing it on the site right here.
But say it with more of an accent. We'll pronounce it properly.
I say it, I butcher the stuff as bad as it is. What kind of hops are in that beer?
We put Hallertau and, Magnum and Golding.
So is Magnum your bittering hop? Or is Hallertau?
Yes.
It is.
No, it's Magnum, our bittering hop, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
That's good. Tasty, I know you like that.
Yeah, it's a great neutral bitterness. It's good in almost any beer.
And then... go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, and then Hallertau is later in the boil?
Yes.
Okay. Do you do... we talk a lot on this show about late edition hops, and some of us don't even do 30-minute hops anymore. We skip it all to the end. What is a typical hopping schedule like with the Roja for you?
Yeah, we do the three hops. You know, we do the bittering hops, when we do flavor, and then we put just before the whirlpool, we put the aroma hops.
You do? Okay. A traditional English hopping there, then? Okay.
Yes.
Do you do any dry hopping with any of your beers?
Yeah, just with the IPA.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to try their IPA.
I'm going to try all their beers.
That sounds good.
What's your bittering hop in the IPA? Magnum also?
The bittering hop in the IPA, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, and we dry hop at the end.
What do you use for the dry hop? Amarillo and Columbus?
Yes.
Both of them?
And Centennial.
Depends.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that. I will tell you right now, without tasting it, that's a good IPA. You can't. Those are three hops that you can't fail as a dry hop, right, Nate?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Dump them in there.
What's cool is he's using hops that are, you know, these are classic West Coast and American IPA type of hops. So it's obviously, Bernie, you've taken a page from the American IPA book on that one.
Yeah. It was designed by Brad. He did the recipe. Brad Krause. He's been our brewer for so many years, and he did the beer in New Mexico. And then he adapted here.
I see. So
where did he brew at in New Mexico?
He used to brew in Blue Corn. He was a brew pub in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
It is a brew pub, actually. It is.
How did you find him? How did you hook? How did you import a brewer?
Oh, we're friends since long time ago. The first brewery I got, it was DME Brewery, and they had a. He was one of the. He did the inspections. I go and check on that crazy Colombian who wants to open a brewery and see if he's doing
it. That's you. Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
So he came. He came 1996 and 1997, and then we became friends since that.
Okay. And so you said, hey, you need to be my brewer. Come on down.
No, at the beginning, we screwed up. You know, our beer wasn't that good.
Okay.
And then after years, he came and started helping us. Then we have another friend, Paul, from Denver. He came and helped us, and we improved the beers. It's been a big learning process.
I like that you admit that, because not a lot of breweries do. And I'm going to tell you, so went to a beer festival this weekend, and I finally come to terms with the fact that I'm a beer snob. And here's why. I go around the beer festival, and Doc pointed out to me there's a new brewery tent. And he says, do you want to go try that beer? And I say, no, I've never heard of them. I'm not going there.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. So here's what I did. I tried to come out of the box. I tried to stop being such a beer snob. So I went to the three brewing companies that I'd never heard of.
They
all three of them sucked.
They're terrible.
It was shitty beer. Yeah. Now...
Be nice to Jamil, come on.
Now, not Jamil.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Now,
give the guy a break.
Now, many of the people who bought tickets to the festival, they don't know that. They probably thought the beer was fine. But I think it's shitty beer. And I think it's because there's a learning curve. And Bernie here just admitted, look, I went and learned how to brew, but we had a learning curve. You guys had to fix the beer. I like that you admit it, Bernie.
We still do it. We still do. Now we got a good lab. And we still do mistakes, you know.
Sure. It must happen, yeah.
Well, you brew
not to repeat them and...
Yeah. Well, see, that's as a home brewer, that's what I have to learn, is not to repeat the mistakes. That's what I haven't learned yet, Bernie.
Yes.
Were you the head brewer when you opened up?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't.
But you were involved in the process.
Oh, I'm involved all the time, and I'm the one who says, oh, okay, why don't come out with this kind of beer? I think Colombians will like it, and I tried this beer. I travel a lot.
Okay.
So I get exposed to different beers. I say, oh, for example, for the Weiss beer, I love Weiss beer in Germany.
Yeah.
And then we got a German brewer from Weinstephan to come and teach us how to make a great Weiss beer.
Oh, see, that's smart.
Awesome.
So that's what we do a lot. You know, that actually this weekend... We had two amazing homebrewers teaching us how to do different stuff. We have a lot of fruits in Colombia, and we don't use them. We were very traditional, so we're trying to push the envelope a bit.
Nice.
So we do that kind of stuff. You know, yeah, we use help, and, you know, we go and look for it and adapt it here.
Right. Well, that's the way to do it right there.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. And especially using local ingredients and things like that. You know, when you're trying to educate the public around you about beer, that's one of the fastest ways to do it, I think. Is to have people come in the door and you're able to say, we brewed this with this local Colombian fruit. Can you give us an example of some of the fruits you were learning about?
Yeah, right now we don't do it with fruit. You know, we do a blanch and we put some orange peels, you know, from Colombia, of course.
Okay, yeah.
It used to be a seasonal, and now it's 25% of the sales, and it's a honey ale, but it's from honeybee from here.
Nice.
And it's amazing. So that's one example. And then we're working on a coffee beer with Colombian coffee, of course. So
wonderful. See, and Bernie, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't care what country you're in. If you go into a place and it says, we made it with our local honey and our local this, and we like it.
Yeah, people like it.
Humans like it. We just like that.
What people are looking for.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the only local we have, it's a water, you know, barley and hops. We have to import it because we don't grow it here. So we need to get, you know, creative and do these kind of things.
Sure. Now, how about the water there? I don't know how scientific you are about the brewing process, Bernie, but obviously water is very important. Can you tell us a little bit about your local water? Do you have to treat it?
Yeah, we're very lucky because Bogota water is very soft. We're very close to the mountains.
Okay.
So we can treat it very easily. You know, we try to replicate the waters from the recipes. You know, the Kelch beer. So we try to replicate that water to the Cologne water.
Okay.
For example, the Roja, you know, we Burtonize it and things like that. Because Bogota water is very soft. So it help us with that.
So you don't have to strip it down to reverse osmosis water and then build it back. You just build on top of what you have.
Exactly. We build up.
Okay.
It's just natural lager water is what it is. Soft water.
Is that right, Tasty? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's very soft water.
Okay. Got it. How about yeast? Where are you getting your yeast from?
Yeast, I've been getting the yeast since 1997 from Y Yeast.
Okay.
We have a great relationship, and yeah, we ship it to FedEx, and then we propagate it here.
Do you use more than one strain, or do you just have a house yeast?
No, we have a house yeast, and then for the seasonals, we bring the special strains. For example, for the Belgian ales, for the Abbey and the strong ale.
Okay, and of course, you had to bring in a lager yeast since you started doing the lager.
Exactly.
Okay. And how many locations do you? How many pubs do you have now?
Right now we have 13 locations, and okay. We're going to end up the year with 18 locations.
So, how much beer are you producing out of your facility now?
We do. Okay, you talking in barrels, no?
If we can
do hectoliters, we can convert.
Yeah, it's about like 16,000 hectoliters a year.
A year. Wow. So you guys are making a lot of beer.
All right, convert it, Tasty.
We'll have to go use my app here.
No, you said we can convert it. That means
we can.
Do it. No, question for Bernie, though. Well, Tasty's doing the conversion, maybe. So
yeah.
What's the batch size that you're brewing now? You started on 7 barrels.
Yeah.
Probably had a system or two since then.
And now it's a 20 barrel.
20 barrels. Nice.
Okay. Yeah, and then we're going to go up to 100 barrel.
Wow.
To an 80 barrel.
80 barrel. Holy shit, that's a big system.
4XW.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Are you in the same building that you've always been in, or did you have to move?
Yeah. The 7 and the 20 are in the same building, but now we're building a greenfield, a brand new brewery outside of the city.
Okay.
Are all 13 locations of the brew pubs in Bogota?
Yeah.
And what about the next 5? Are they all Bogota as well?
Yeah, no. Some of them are going to be outside the city. We're already distributing around the country. So we need to support the brand. So in order to support the brand in supermarkets and other restaurants, we're opening like that, the experience. So we're opening the pubs in different cities.
I see. Wow. You guys are like the McDonald's of Bogota now. You have locations everywhere.
That wasn't very welcome.
I know. That was a terrible compliment, wasn't it?
But that wasn't a great compliment. No. We didn't have anything. And you go to our places. It's not cookie cutters. They are, they are really cool pubs.
Okay.
And so hopefully someday you can come in and see it with your eyes. But no, there is nothing to do with McDonald's. No, God, no.
Okay. What if he had said, you guys are like the shitty top 40 of beer radio?
Well, we are. Yeah. Yeah. And I certainly didn't mean the association with the quality of McDonald's.
Right.
But with that many locations in one city, we don't have a craft brewery like that in America.
Not like that. I mean, you can talk maybe Gordon Biersch or something, but not that.
That's not even close.
The same kind of format where you're opening up multiple
in
locations.
In a country, not in a city.
But remember that we are a 7-8 million people city.
Yeah.
And remember that for years we only have a monopoly producing really easy drinking lagers.
Yeah. So people want it. They want Bogota in every community.
Exactly. So we open kind of the neighborhood pub wherever we go.
Got it.
So that is what it becomes.
The English neighborhood pub model a little bit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
See, Nathan, that's a nicer association.
McDonald's. That'd be nice to Bernie.
You can call it family of pubs, something like that.
Yeah. That's good change.
But when he says, okay, he's got 18 locations soon. So when he says, I'm an entrepreneur, some people just throw that term around. So I believe him now.
Well, and
he's serious about this.
This is why I like that he went to learn to brew and all these different things, because Bernie starts by saying, well, I'm an entrepreneur. And then if he skipped everything in the middle and said, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm going to have 18 pubs.
Beer sucks.
In Bogota?
Beer sucks.
Yeah, I'm instantly going to go, well, Bernie, your beer sucks. But the story in between tells us that the beer, it was a focus, and it's good beer. You know, the quality of the beer. Yeah.
We send the beer with many contests and tournaments. We've been doing really well in tournaments with the beer.
Oh, good. As international, or do you have Colombian beer competitions?
No,
international.
You know, international in Chile, in the Latin. It was one of the best breweries in Latin America.
Wow!
And it was the best IPA in Latin America. In Australia, we got two medals last year. In Nuremberg, in the European Beer Stars, we got a bronze with the Blanche, competing with Hoegaard in all those big beers.
Attaboy.
Cool. Wow. Nice.
Good job.
So, yeah. So no, we are all about beer. We make great beer. We just need, you know, we just created the pub, you know, just to avoid the monopoly and be able to sell the beer.
I see.
So, Bernie, what's your current favorite of your lineup? You have one that you really enjoy right now versus the others?
It depends on the days, no? It's like if somebody asks you, what is your favorite son, no?
Yeah.
The one I don't have yet. That's my favorite.
Right.
No, but it depends. But yeah, I have become a hophead, like you Americans call it, no?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's boy.
That's the natural progression. You're hophead, and soon you're going to be a sour head, and everything else. You'll keep going.
Exactly.
It's a progression. By the way, 16,000 hectoliters is 13,634 barrels.
That's a lot of beer.
It is a lot of beer. That's a good-sized brewery you got there, Bernie.
Yeah.
Any packaging going on there? You got anything in bottles that you distribute to other outlets?
Yeah, we do them in bottles. We do like 100,000 bottles a month. I don't know.
Really? And you can get those at the pubs as well? Or is that another distribution?
Yeah. People can go and pick them up at the pub.
Oh, they get beer to go then. Oh, great.
And grocery stores, too? Did I read you're doing that? In my notes?
Yeah, we're doing that. You can get in grocery stores.
See, that's good.
Yeah, well, McDonald's isn't doing that.
No. That's right.
Well, in the grocery stores, how many other craft brands are on the shelf next to your beers?
There are already two that came in the last few years.
Okay, so that's a good question. And are there other craft breweries in Bogota and elsewhere in Colombia?
Yeah, there are two other ones in Bogota.
Okay.
And there is two other ones in Medellin, which is the second largest city in Colombia.
And how do you feel about that? Is it competition or is it brotherhood?
It depends how you take it. I take it like brotherhood, and then I take it like I hope they make great beer, so we grow the category. But yeah, since the brewing industry is so small here, so yeah, there is a little bit of competition, of course.
Sure. But it sounds like, I mean, I think that in the U.S., most craft brewers help each other, because if one local craft brewery is making shit beer, people might think that Bogota is also making shit beer. You associate it with each other. So I think you help each other in order to prevent that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we do that a lot.
So do you have smaller, like even home brewers in Colombia and Bogota, they're coming up to you saying, I want to open a place too, and you offer help?
Oh, yeah. They come all the time, and we just sold our equipment very cheap to a home brewer who's starting in the coast of Colombia.
Nice.
No, we're pretty cool about it.
Are there a lot of home brewers in Bogota?
It's coming. It's, you know, now there is one homebrew shop, which helps.
Yeah.
I think that helps. Now, Seville is doing a course once a year here, the concise course. They are doing it in Spanish here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So when they come and they do the brewery tour, they come to our brewery. So, yeah, we're like 15 years behind the States, but it's coming.
That's okay.
It's better than 50.
Well, how boring would it be if there's only one country doing this? I love hearing about I got to tell you, I'm kind of a sissy about this stuff. I love hearing about it. It's like it's another a beer revolution happening somewhere.
That is pretty cool. I wonder how excited they're going to be when the Phantom Menace it finally gets released on there. Then, and only then will they realize.
When they get the new Star Wars?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
That was because you said they were behind, and it was...
I don't
know. I'm trying to be relevant. How do you find out about us?
So, I asked the same thing of my producer, Bernie. How did we find out about Bogota?
You know, a listener sent me an article from... It made The Wire. I believe it was BBC. And they had I think they had featured you, Bernie, as the entrepreneur of the week or something. And I'm always interested in international stories, and we talk to breweries in the States all the time. So anything outside of our wheelhouse piques my interest.
So you were on the BBC, Bernie.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if you say so.
That was like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago.
It was a while ago.
Our listeners are really slow.
Yeah.
They hear that and they go, oh, we will tell the Brewing Network about that one day.
Yeah, 15 years behind is nothing.
Right. Well, Bertie, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And man, it sounds like you're doing great. You must be making a shitload of money over there, man.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Send your yacht up here.
If we come visit, you're going to send a limo to the airport, right?
No, if you come visit, I'll take you out and we do a pub crawl and we can taste some good beers.
Good enough. That's fine by me. Yeah, you can and make me sleep in a hut. I don't give a shit. I want to go to Colombia.
Do a pub crawl from his location to his location to his other location.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Sounds like those are the best places to go.
We're doing a 13 pub Bogota crawl.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
We actually do have a brewery tour and then we do a pub tour.
Wonderful.
That's cool.
Well, so, it sounds great. How many people have you employed in Bogota?
We have 240 people working for us.
That's great. You're creating jobs too, man.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, Bernie. It's been wonderful spending time with you. And wow, congratulations on your success. It's good to see somebody spreading the good beer across the world, man.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for calling me, and thanks so much for creating the Brew Network.
You're very welcome. I hope to meet you one day and try your beer, Bernie. Cheers.
Cheers. Take care. Bye-bye, man.
Bye, Bernie.
There you go. You can go to BogotaBeerCompany.com right now and check them out. And if you got a trip to Colombia on your schedule, I know that you travel a lot, JP.
I consider myself a traveler, yes.
Maybe one of these weekends, rather than just traversing the Highway 5 Central California corridor,
yeah, well,
you could venture off to someplace like Bogota, Colombia, and visit the Bogota Beer Company.
I could. You're right.
And check it out. I like Bernie.
Bernie seems really cool.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, and I think he's got it right. You know, he is a business person, and I think that that's a smart move. Jamil will come in and tell you that. When you open a brewery, you should stop thinking of yourself only as a brewer. Yeah. But he's got the good mix. He went to learn to brew, and he likes beer, and clearly it's working.
It sounds like it.
13 pubs, how much money do you think he's clearing each year, Moscow?
Scott.
In his own pocket?
I know you've done the math already, Moscow.
Yeah. Just him? I'd say he's probably doing 185 would be my guess.
Is it American 200? Or is that pounds?
Pesos? What is the national currency?
That'd be like 2 trillion pesos.
I think it's coca leaves.
I'm saying U.S. dollars. That's based on absolutely nothing other than just a guess.
Right.
But he's got to be doing all right. He's opening 5 more, approaching 20 locations.
Right.
Got to be doing well.
Somebody's lending him money, or he's got money.
Well, it sounded like he spent, I have a little bit of, I don't think he gave us the specific numbers, but Moscow did some research. That first brewery that he bought from Portland, $40,000. And it was his savings. He spent it all.
He just went for it.
And it sounded like it was his second startup, so he had money from the first one that he got out of. He admitted that he didn't like his family. Well, those are my words. He went into business with his family, and he got out of it. And then he spent the money on the brew pub, or the brewery, $40,000, on a 7-barrel system.
And he even admitted that when he started with that system,
it sucked.
He wasn't very good. Yeah. Right. It takes, that's awesome.
What a good story, though. Yeah. And that's all since 2002. So, what's that, a couple years? A couple of two, three years?
A couple of two or three.
You know, he's really opened up and done well. All right. It's already our fourth break. So, I like that. I'm doing good on the format today.
I think you're doing great on the format today.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I do want to talk about efficiency just a little bit. And then we're going to do Brew's Line Is It Anyway? And we're going to do Drunk of the Week. It's our last segment when we come back. But we do have a lot of info and some things to cover. So, hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Where do you go for all the stuff you need to brew? Homebrewstuff.com, of course. In their Boise, Idaho storefront and warehouse, they have more than 750 craft beers and 8,000 square feet of homebrew products in stock. The staff at Homebrew Stuff are homebrewers themselves. They try out just about everything, including the beer, so they can answer your questions knowledgeably and correctly about brewing, kegging, and anything else you might need to ask. Don't live near the Homebrew Stuff store? Visit homebrewstuff.com online and take advantage of their $7.95 domestic shipping available on most orders. Homebrewstuff.com is a proud sponsor of the AHA, NHC, GABF, and countless other acronyms. So if you're a homebrewer looking for great people, a great selection, and great deals, head to homebrewstuff.com online or in person. Visit their YouTube channel for loads of free how-to and product videos. All of the stuff you need to brew.
homebrewstuff.com.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for any beer style. I want a Cicerone. The Cicerone certification program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Did you know the Brewing Network's very own Code Right and Fool's son, Ryan Wolf, has opened a beer mecca in Missouri? The Wolfbrow House of Beer has hundreds of beers from all over the world and is conveniently close to I-70 in St. Peter's. Free tastings Saturdays 4 to 6 p.m. featuring special guests from local breweries. The best build-your-own six-pack around with every style represented. And kegged craft beer available for your kegerator, too. There's always something new at the Wolfbrow House of Beer. New and hard to find beer every week. No two visits are the same. Just like passing out at the Rat Pad.
Hi, this is Ryan from Wolfbrow House of Beer. Mention the Brewing Network when you stop in for some cool free stuff. Mention JP for a swift kick in the ass.
The Wolfbrow House of Beer. Beer with personal service from a member of the BN Army.
This is Code. Visit my son's shop or I'll yank the fuck BN website down.
www.wolfbrow.com.
To the city. It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. Oh no, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol. Oh, it can't be done. Come with me if you want the beer. Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you massive selection and superior customer service, comes the Home Brewer.
Here's a bite for beer lovers. Soft caramel made with real craft brew and coated in chocolate. And hop drops, hard candies made with real hop oil. Introducing Beer Candy from BeerCandy.com. Beer Candy's amazing caramels come in four mouth-watering flavors. IPA, bitter gold, wrapped in smooth white chocolate. Lager, made with a familiar beer from Boston and coated in milk chocolate. Lambic, soury Belgian goodness, full of fresh raspberry and dipped in dark chocolate. And Stout, roasty cocoa chocolate insanity. Hop drops are made with Fuggles or Cascade hops and are known as the candy that bites you back. Choose from sampler and full sizes of both and make your mouth jump to life. All at BeerCandy.com. Hop drops and beer caramels satisfy your sweet tooth as only a beer lover could with Beer Candy. Visit BeerCandy.com today.
All right, BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hot Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit AustinHomebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google Plus to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
Wait till you can pour it out of your own kegerator.
Yeah. I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
All right, thanks again to Bernie Silbervasser from Bogota Beer Company in Bogota, Colombia, for spending time with us and teaching us about the Colombia beer scene there. That was a lot of fun. Also, there at the break, you heard a song from the Trophy Fire, good friends of the show. Of course, that's Schumann and Shoelight and Ben. You've heard them on the program. They're also playing at the BN Anniversary Party. And you know what? They're getting some airplay here locally in San Francisco. I just got a text from Shu, so I'm going to put it out to the BN Army right now. If you guys are listening live, do this for me. Text 36105, that's the number. Text to 36105 and request Hey Dreamer by the Trophy Fire tonight. They're doing a local music show called Soundcheck here in San Francisco. It's on the biggest alternative rock station in San Francisco, which is a top five market, I will mention. So it's kind of a big deal. They've gotten some airplay on there, quite a bit actually. And this kind of thing helps out a local band. So you guys like the Trophy Fire, text over to 36105. That's the text number, 36105, and request Hey Dreamer by the Trophy Fire. It's new music from the Trophy Fire. I don't even have it yet here in the studio, but we'll get it for you.
Yeah.
And put it on here. And I'm sure you're also going to hear it at the BN Anniversary Party in Philadelphia, PA, when we do BN 8 and Trophy Fire's playing there. So do that for our good friends, all of you, right now, if you're listening. Do it.
When we're, does that mean me?
No, because okay, you can't do two things at once, and you'll totally check out and...
That's totally true.
Yeah.
When we're seeing them at BNA 8, do we have to text our requests in then, or can we just say them if we ever have any, which I'm
pretty sure you have to text them in all the time. If you ever have a Trophy Fire request, even at a live show, you have to text it.
I tell you, this technology is taking the world by storm.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Do they know Freebird?
You should text it to them and find out. Not to Live 105, but you can text Schumann directly, and I'm sure he'll answer.
Dear Live 105, I love the Trophy Fire. Can I get Freebird connected to 11? Motherfucker.
The live version that lasts 13 minutes.
You know, I'm pretty sure at BNA 8, you should text Schumann and see if they could do Freebird. I bet Nathan knows Freebird. He's been a guitar player long enough to have to know Freebird.
We could do this. Oh, yeah.
It's a legal requirement for any guitar player.
You can't call yourself a guitar player unless you not can. Have that one. You gotta have that.
That and Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven, maybe Iron Man.
Right. Oh. I'm still trying to figure out what metal song we might be able to get Nate up there to help us do.
Ace of Spades, dude, all day, every day.
You ready to go, JP?
I'm ready.
You ready to sing it?
I'm ready.
You'd be good at singing. Yeah, you could do some Lemmy, I think.
I think I could do it.
Hot for Teacher. I always like that one.
Hot for Teacher?
Yeah. That's more of a drummer.
I wish I could play that.
Hot for Teacher.
With that amount of skill.
John Schumann would go crazy if we chose that. He'd love it.
It's the Flight of the Bumblebees of rock songs.
You know, speaking of Lemmy, I was listening to the radio the other day, and,
he's still alive, amazingly.
That, Ozzy Osbourne's song, his most popular song, but it came out in like the 90s.
Crazy Train?
No, the one that came out later. It's the one he made the most money off of. I'm not saying it was the best song. It was
like a ballad duet or something that
Lemmy wrote with him.
Yeah.
God damn it. What's it called? Look up Ozzy Osbourne songs right now and tell me the most popular one.
Am I taking Brew's line? Is it anyway calls yet?
Sure, but they're going to sit on hold for a while.
Okay.
So tell them if they're fine with that.
Good.
God damn it, what's it called? Anyhow, Lemmy wrote it with him, right? And
Ain't No Nice Guy.
No.
Ozzy,
I Ain't
Flash.
A Nice Guy?
Nope.
Mom Coming.
That's it. Mom Coming Home.
Yes.
Yeah. That was huge for him.
So Lemmy,
I tried to block that out, but I knew it was going to be that one that would come up. Yeah.
Lemmy of obviously Motorhead fame is what he wants to be.
Yeah.
Has admitted that he's made more money off of that
the
one
publishing
song
of that song alone
than he did his entire Motorhead career.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive, and goes to show. If we could all just write one good song.
I know.
We wouldn't have to do all this bullshit.
Tell that story to Schumann.
Because our job's hard here.
You know? Our job is hard here.
You know, sometimes I feel like I'm a bricklayer. You know, like I work hard.
Fuck bricks.
All day. Yeah, that's actually what I meant. Yeah. I feel like
I'm
fuck
so
bricks.
I'm trying to get back to you.
Turn off your goddamn!
I'm sorry. No, I was apologizing. Oh, I'm talking.
Wow. Princess idiot over there.
I'm sorry.
Just hit reset.
All right. We got a game of Bruce Line, is it? Anyway, coming up in just a couple minutes. Plus, we'll do Drunk of the Week, and then we're going to get out of here. I wanted to talk to you guys quickly about brewhouse efficiency. And, you know, we don't have to get too nuts about it, but let me just explain some of the steps I've taken and some of the mistakes I'm still seeing in my brewhouse. So, the first couple brews with the Evil Twin, and you could use this information to sway your votes, by the way, who you want to bet on. You know, I just took the old BN1550 and went to town on it. I got a recipe, and, you know, basically what's been happening is that at mash out, I get about to, I have a 15-gallon kettle. I can put 14 gallons in it and still boil. And I kind of measure my gravity pre-boil after I've put in about 10 to 12 gallons, you know, and see where I'm at, because I generally either want to get more sugar or I need to add water, right? And what's happened is I've needed to add water, right? Quite a bit of it. And then I'm sort of bouncing back and forth, and I'm taking a million measurements to try to get the right pre-boil gravity. And what's happened is that within those calculations, I'm then adjusting whether or not I'm doing a 90-minute boil or a 60-minute boil, because if the gravity, say, isn't, what is it, if it's not quite, I would have to reduce to 60 minutes so that I don't end up with a too high of an original gravity, rather than do my planned 90-minute boil. So after those two brews, what I did was I went into my system and I wanted to know a few things. First of all, Tasty, you had mentioned every one of us should have like a stick that tells us the volume of our kettle. We can stick it in there.
You can mark it on the kettle, or you can have a stick.
And mark it. So I did it with a stick. I marked
That's
it on a stick. And I went in there, and I wanted to know what 10 gallons was, what 12 gallons was, what 14 gallons was. Right. I discovered by doing it that about every inch and a quarter is a gallon.
That's right. What I do. I have a number for each kettle.
Yeah.
I can just compute it.
Yeah. So mine's about an inch and a quarter. I still drew it all out on a stick because I figured I should stack the deck in my favor and not have to add.
Like, you don't mean a stick you found on the ground, like a yardstick.
Or a doll stick.
Oh, no. I just picked up like a crooked stick that fell out of my tree.
A twig. Hello, mold on it. That's cool.
Yeah. No,
I left the bark on it.
I was doing some things to make it easier to get water from my spigot over to my system, so I had to go to Home Depot to get a few connectors and stuff, and while I was there, I just got like a rounded stick, you know,
a dowel
stick.
Yeah. Fucking stick.
Look, I'm just trying to help.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm glad. I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of me.
Notch it.
So I just used the Sharpie. The Sharpie, that's safe, right?
Oh, yeah. No problem.
It's not toxic. Well, not actually, but okay.
So not only did I mark the stick, but then I filled my kettle with 5 gallons of water and I boiled for an hour. Because I wanted to know what my boil off was.
Sure, yeah.
Now, I probably should have waited till the next brew day to do that so that I'm not wasting water, but I didn't want to screw up another brew day, so I just did the water, and I boiled. And I discovered that my boil off is about a gallon an hour.
Right.
Does that sound reasonable to you guys? Because I have to check all my math.
It's a gallon an hour. Okay.
It tends to be a little more aggressive when you only have less volume in the kettle.
Yeah.
So that experiment may have been a little bit higher than normal.
That would be higher.
You think so, Tasty?
Yeah. So
you really should collect 14 gallons
of
water to test your thing.
Oh, okay. You know what I should have done was measured it again on my brew day Thursday, but I didn't.
Well, that's what you need to do. Just on one brew day.
Yeah.
See what you do get, and then you can go back to your brewing software.
Okay.
And you know, then you'll know your efficiency.
Do it a few times and you'll have your percentage. Yeah. And you'll have it down.
Oh, slow down. Because you guys are getting to what I want to get at, but you're ahead of me. I really have to take this slow because numbers are not my friend. And they just confuse me. I get retarded quickly. Let me ask you this. Now, you did say that I had less volume in my kettle, 5 gallons instead of what I would normally have, 14. What about even just that it's water versus wort? Does that also change the boil off?
I think it can.
Okay.
But I don't know how significant. What do you think, Tasty?
Probably not enough. No, it has much more to do with the geometry. That is how far the top of the surface is from the hot side of the kettle, the bottom.
Right.
Unless your water was hot. Because if you're measuring hot wort, it will expand and it will seem larger in the kettle. So if you're measuring cold water to calibrate it to hot wort, it will be off.
So I did that. Water. I measured my inch and a quarter was with cold water. And then I did notice that when it was heated up, it was obviously a higher volume. Right. That part of science I did know. But still, though, then should I remark my stick with hot water instead of how I did it with cold water?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I can sort of eyeball it now. I know that it's a little bit above the line instead of at the line.
Are you asking specifically tasty, or are you just asking?
No, I'm asking, yeah.
Why not just figure out the math about, you said it's an inch and a quarter equals a gallon, right?
In cold water, yes.
In cold water?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would boil everything, turn off the thing, measure what it is in hot water, and then you have those inches, then you just use a friggin' tape measure.
So that was my question. So I should re-measure with hot water?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you have to find,
especially
right?
If it's a hot water type situation you're going to be using the data in.
As
right?
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah, right. So as you are, like if you're collecting a volume, a pre-boil volume of wort,
yeah.
Then you want to be able to get, like today I made beer, and I made a 15-gallon batch, so I needed like 23 gallons of pre-boil, which would turn out to be like in my 26-gallon kettle was like 16 inches.
That's, okay.
I just clicks, and I just, because I know it's 1.35 inches per whatever, something.
Got it. And you just collect that much?
Yeah, yeah. I just collect 18 inches, and then I check my gravity.
Okay.
I got to get the volume first.
That's exactly what I do.
Now, you're cautious because you've been overshooting.
I've been overshooting.
And so that's why you're checking before you get to your volume.
Correct.
So you don't like get to the volume and go like,
right.
Well, I don't have any room for that any water.
That's
my
point. Exactly. That's right.
So that's a little different. But I generally, when I do my formulation, I try to get, I try to go underneath. And I just have DME by the 25,
you do.
50 pound sack.
You'd rather add DME than add water.
That's so much easier.
I thought it would be the opposite, that you'd rather add water than DME because it's an ingredient that you haven't.
A little bit of DME. Like today I made a 15-gallon batch of Janus Brown Ale in my system.
Yeah.
Well, I can't mash enough grain for that. So I added like 5 pounds of DME to my, it was in my recipe, five pounds.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Janus Brown. Interesting to know because I've heard others, maybe it was Doc or somebody, although don't let me pin that on him, who have said, you know, yes, you can do that, but wouldn't you rather have all the ingredients that you processed in the mash? So in other words, you'd rather add water than add DME because that's a sugar that somebody else processed.
It is, but it's,
you
know, I don't know, it's smaller quantities.
You find it negligent.
Only a few percentage of the overall sugars used, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Well, I don't know. In a beer like that, isn't it 5 pounds? Isn't it almost a third? 5 pounds of DME? I mean, how many pounds of grain is that?
Oh, I had like
that's a lot.
36 pounds of grain. It's a big batch. I mean, it's a big mash.
Wow, okay. Because you're going to have a big batch.
I had 24 gallons of pre-boil, I think, yeah.
I mean, wow. I guess it doesn't really matter. I was just kind of picking.
No, I see.
But
I'm sure if you could, it's in there, and you could probably detect it. But I've never.
Well, it clearly doesn't matter, right? I mean,
well,
you've never.
As long as
had,
it's not too big a percentage, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it is.
Shouldn't be half.
It is, you know, beer flavor. It's not like it's an odd flavor,
right?
And it's like, and you can look at it the other way, where it's like it's not a mini mash, it's a maxi mash, right? Like you,
right?
Like, it's like extract beer plus, right? Because you're using all this other grain as well. Mm.
And a third way I could look at it is that whoever made that DME was guaranteed to have done a better mash than I did. So I should probably stop worrying
just
so much.
You just go extract brewing, maybe.
Yeah, right.
That's your calling.
I don't want this to turn into like let's dissect your problem, but what's your percentage that when you make the recipe, what is your efficiency that you...
Okay, well, I'll get there. Hang on.
Right.
So that's where I wanted to go. So, all right. So I did those measurements so I would know my volume. The other thing I did was I measured the dead space in my mash tun. Because when I used my Beersmith brewing software and you set up your equipment profile, it asks for these different things. And so I figured the more input I can give it, maybe the closer I'm going to get to my efficiency. So I have a gallon of mash tun dead space. Of course, I measured that with cold water again, but a gallon before I could see it come up above the false bottom. Is that right? Is that what the dead space is? What's below the false bottom?
Yep.
Okay, good. So I'm understanding that. So I did those couple of measurements. So now I know where my 14-gallon mark is, which is how much wort I want to transfer out of my mash tun. I know what the boil-off rate is, although I'm going to need to do that again. But I had entered it in as a gallon per hour. And then I know that I have a gallon of dead space in my mash tun. And I entered this information into my profile in my Beersmith. And then it was sort of asking me for an estimated efficiency. Now, based on the fact that I'm overshooting my gravity all the time, I think I punched in like I might have even put in like a 90% efficiency. Mm-hmm. because I thought it would be a closer to accurate starting point than what people say, where they're like, oh, you should do 75 or something. And there's no fucking way it's down to 75 when I'm overshooting my gravity. So I put in 90%. Now, I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, I don't know how this affected the recipe that I punched in. I don't know if it changed what I should have or didn't change what ingredients I got or not. Doc gave me a recipe. In Beersmith, I punched in my what equipment profile I would be using, which is the one I just talked about, and I saved it. And then I did that recipe, okay? So I do all this, and I brew, and then, like I said, I mash out, and at like 10 gallons, I'm way over. Yes, JP.
Thank you for calling on me. No. Part of the problem could be is that you don't know, or maybe you do, what efficiency Doc's recipe was written for.
Correct.
If his recipe was written for a 70% efficiency and your system's cankling at a 90, it's gonna be all kinds of jacked up.
Agreed. Although he seems to have a similar problem than me, is that he's overshooting. So yes, there's probably some discrepancy there, except that I think he's probably closer to where I'm at than he is is 70 to 90. But I still agree that this is a problem. This is what I need to be able to do is take this recipe, and I know this is what you do, Tasty, because you've talked about it. You take somebody's recipe, you know your efficiency, and you're able to scale it to your system. Yeah. I'm not able to do that right now, and this is part of my problem.
Because you don't know your efficiency.
Right.
So, okay, so here's what so how the fuck, now that I put these numbers in, how do I get my efficiency?
You make a batch of beer.
Yeah.
Add an estimated efficiency.
Okay.
And then you collect your volume, and then you see what you got, right?
And
if you're like 20% over, then your efficiency is off by 20%.
Oh. Oh. Well, that's simple.
You should have got that on a couple batches ago.
Right? Beersmith has that in there, I think. You can actually enter what they say the starting gravity is going to be or should be.
The estimated,
and you put what yours is. And that's your efficiency. And then you do it, like Nate was saying, you do it over a couple of times, two, three times.
Yeah.
And you know your percentage, and from then you just calculate it out. Like, I know mine is 70. It's a little low, but it works for me. I don't really give a shit.
Well, and that's all I care about either. Yeah, I don't need it to be 70 or 90.
You just
I don't give a shit.
You want
I just
want
to know what it is.
You want a constant, if at all possible, yeah.
Oh, I might be able to do that.
I think you can. I really do. I think you can do it.
For instance, you collected 10 gallons, and you had your pre-boil gravity, right?
Yep. Well, you should have gone. No. I collected 10 gallons.
You were high.
I was super high. But okay. Now here's what.
Well, that's a data point. You can take that and go to a Beersmith and put that in as a recipe, and you can figure out what efficiency that is based on the grain you hit.
Oh,
you got a data point. There's lots of places you can get it. You can. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where.
No, it doesn't matter whether it's in any part of the batch.
You thought you were at 70% and you were at 80, 85 or something.
That's your different.
Can every one of you come over to my house on a brew day?
Yes.
And hold my stupid hand? Okay, so here's another. Here's where I got screwed up. Okay, so I'm at 10 gallons, right? And I'm doing an ordinary bitter, so it's a low gravity beer that I can finish quickly for SoCal. And I'm looking at my runoff. First of all, I take the gravity and I realize, all right, it's high gravity. But then I'm looking at my runoff, and my runoff is nearly clear now.
Right.
I mean, it's clear. And I'm thinking in my head, well, you don't want to just keep running water through grains. So what I should do is stop taking my mash runoff. And since I'm at 10 gallons and I'm at a high gravity anyway, I should add water.
Instead of the last running.
So yeah. I added 4 gallons of water.
I would.
I did it in steps because I didn't want to undershoot. So I did it in steps, and I kept measuring. Mm-hmm. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that I measured 27 times. I might be exaggerating by one or two. I measured so many times. And when I got to 13 and a half gallons, okay, I know because of my stick, I was still just a little high. I wanted my pre-boil gravity to be 8.5 Play-Doh, bricks, whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. Yep. By the way, I calibrated my refractometer, finally. It was 4 points off.
We thought it might have been.
Not autocorrected.
It was, so I went out, I bought distilled water. I made sure it was like about 68 degrees. I put it on there 100 times and checked that it was zero every time. Mm. I'm at 9 bricks. I want to be at 8.5 bricks. So I measure the 9 bricks at 13 and a half gallons. I throw in another half gallon of water. At this point, I'm throwing in a gallon. It's barely moving. Lo and behold, science goddamn hates me. I measure when it's boiling, okay? I measure when it's boiling, and it's 8.5. Let me get this right in my head.
Bricks or Play-Doh or something?
It's still just about 9 bricks. But I'm like, okay, fuck it. I can't put any more water.
Yeah, that's fine.
I reduce my boil to 60 minutes.
Okay.
Because I'm a half a point above,
sure.
Right? So instead of doing a 90-minute boil, I'm sorry, listeners, that you have to bear with me as I go through this in my head.
This is good.
It's a common problem.
So I'm over by a half a point, so I reduce my boil to 60 minutes. I'm thinking, and by the way, I don't do this willy-nilly. I punch it into Beersmith. Beersmith has a boil-off calculator. Mm. So I punch it in there. I put in my OG. It calculates, I put it in bricks, 9 bricks. It calculates to what my actual gravity is, and it tells me about where I'm going to be. I'm going to be just a smidge above where I'm supposed to be.
Perfect.
Which is like, I'm supposed to finish at 10:38. Here's the part where you understand that science hates me. After 60 minutes, I finish with a lower bricks count than I did
what?
At the beginning of the boil. In other words, I start the boil.
Wait a minute.
In other words, I start the boil at 9 bricks. I finish.
The mold evaporated?
I finish the boil at 8.5 bricks. It's impossible,
okay.
Right? It's impossible. I understand it's impossible.
Steam anywhere?
I'm not trying to convince you that science doesn't work in my backyard. Somehow my measurement was wrong, okay? I understand that. I know that science works only one way. But I also know that science hates me. And how do I measure it 7 times at 9 bricks, and it's not an accurate measurement?
Did you try, well, some of the refractometers don't autocorrect or kind of take a while.
I cooled it down.
Okay, you cooled it down.
The wort down every time. I took it out of my spoon. I sat it down for 10 minutes. I blew on it. I did everything humanly possible to make this, and I finished at a lower gravity after 60 minutes of boiling than at a higher. Again,
something's got to be wrong with
the
measurements.
No talent ass clown.
This is why science hates me. Something's happening, so I get it. Anyhow, I'm supposed to have a 10:38 beer. I've hopped an ordinary bitter, which is going to be a delicate balance of hops and malt. I end up with a 10:32 original gravity. Hopped at a 10:38 original gravity. I'm going to have a bitter.
You got a nice hoppy session beer.
I'm going to have a bitter ordinary bitter.
Well, that's why you have DME on hand. You can throw in, 3 pounds
right.
DME, and then you're back up there.
Except that, now I agree with you.
Or 2 pounds.
Had I taken in that pre-boil gravity,
yeah.
If it had shown me that my gravity was too low, I had added too much water, I would have added DME.
Right.
But my measurement was telling me I'm in the right spot. Motherfucking
I've
shit
had this-
fuck.
I've had this happen, and it's always good to take a couple of extra measurements. Sometimes, for whatever reason, the measurement didn't go well.
27!
Or 27, okay. Or
I spent an hour measuring this thing.
Good suggestion from JP, and this is what Tasty is doing as well, at the beginning of the boil.
Yeah.
You can measure 15 minutes before the end. Mm-hmm. It's not going to change dramatically in that time.
If I have to boil those bittering, if I've already added my bittering hops?
Yeah. If you've already added your bittering hops.
The contribution is very diminishing on the early edition. So
don't be afraid to adjust, but with some DME, with 15 minutes left in the boil, you can take a measurement at that point and do some fine-tuning, basically.
So I'm glad to know that, because having been on this show for 8 years... I did know that that was something I could do. I guess I was just worried about extending my boil past 60 minutes. I sort of felt like, once I add that bittering hop, I'm locked into 60 minutes.
Right.
You guys are saying it's okay.
If you want to, I used to do this, and you can do it as well. It's not a bad technique. That I would always do the 60-minute hop in a hop sack. That way, when I did the extended boil, I could just go and pull it out.
Yeah.
And wouldn't be in there anymore.
I see.
Or fire up Beersmith.
Oh, yeah, you've said that. I've heard you. So that would have been a good idea.
Now I've been a whole different thing. My theory now is that, well, after 60 minutes, the contribution if I blow for an extra 15 minutes, that contribution is that much anyway.
No. Okay,
much
fire up Beersmith. Yeah, exactly. Change it between 60 and 75 minutes for that same amount of hop.
Yeah.
It's a few IBU, 2-3 maybe.
And for that matter, it would have been, the difference would have been less than the difference I have now with a 10:32 beer.
Exactly.
With that much bitterness. In other words, I added more bitterness by not doing it.
Right.
So, you want to measure right before you add your hops. right, when everything's about to start going.
Right.
And then I do it halfway through just to see how it's progressing. And then I do it like 5 minutes before you cut the boil.
Yep.
Yeah. But like Nate's saying, 15 or, you know, whatever you want to do. That way, if you need to make that adjustment, you can make that adjustment. And that's how you're getting, that's how also you'll get your boil off efficiency.
Yep. Especially if something didn't seem to go as planned with wort collection and all that other stuff. A good reason to check. You know, that way you can say, okay, I thought it was going to be a 60-minute boil. Well, it turned into 2 hours. Or I thought it was going to be a, you know, vice versa.
So, things change all the time.
You can adapt. You're not only locked in. You can you can adapt as the boil progresses.
Okay.
Yeah. Like today, my propane tank was getting low. And when it does, the flame is not as big.
Right.
Right. So I was observing this boil throughout like the 90 minutes. I'm going like, yeah, I'm going to have to boil longer. So, you know, when it came time to add the 15-minute hop, I take a gravity reading and I go like, yeah, it's too soon. So I boil for another 15 minutes.
Because it wasn't vigorous enough, weren't getting your normal boil off.
Wasn't getting the boil off.
Exactly. Right. Okay.
See? You know, I can't tell you the number of homebrewers I know that only take a gravity, an OG, that is they just make the beer by recipe, oh they go God. Through the process, and they go like, oh, I missed my gravity.
Right.
Like, and then like you're saying, well, yeah, except you added all the hops for the bigger beer, or you didn't add enough hops, you know, whatever, you know, making beer is not like, you know, automatic. You have to drive the train. You have to be there on hand and do stuff.
See, and I'm of that school of thought now after listening to you guys, and when I brewed the last times I was doing that, but I'm of that school of thought and driving the train, and I have no idea how to drive the train.
Well,
this is my
if the measurement thing had worked, evidently it didn't, then you would have been doing that, right? I mean, you'd have been
That's what I mean. I'm trying to...
Yeah, I mean, you're on the right track, believe me. Okay.
I think especially in homebrewing, things like IBUs are, you know, a little bit of an estimation anyway.
Right.
You have some wiggle room. And volume, we don't care as much. We're not really producing this on the commercial scale. So if you're off by 3 to 5% on volume, I figure I'd rather hit the gravity correctly.
I don't care
on volume, basically.
So that kind of brings me to my next question, because I agree with you on that. I used to be that, no, I want every drop of beer
some,
I can get.
You're right. Some people get hung up on that, too.
But now, because I'm competitive with myself, and I'm a perfectionist, and I enjoy the challenge of brewing, at the end of the brew day, I'm having all this fun. But I want the brew to finish correctly at the end so I can feel satisfied that I did it right. So I'm also less concerned with volume. Let me ask you this. I'm doing my batches as a 12-gallon batch. Now, I'm talking about brewing software right now, okay? So it says that it's a 12-gallon batch. But it's accounting for how much volume are you starting with pre-boil, which I've put in my system profile as 14 gallons. But if I'm overshooting my gravity by so enormously, should my batch size be 14 gallons so that when I mash out, I've hit the right gravity? Do you see what I'm getting at? It seems that, or is it just that I don't have my efficiency calculated correctly?
I think it's that.
So I should stay with a 12-gallon batch, because that's what's going to the fermenter.
Right.
Is 12 gallons.
Right.
I'm losing a gallon to boil off over 60 minutes. I'm losing a gallon to troob loss and dead space. I'm transferring approximately 12 gallons. So I should keep it that way.
Well, you're not losing a gallon to dead space. The dead space doesn't stay in there.
It does.
No.
It's for calculating
it's for calculating your mash, how much water you need.
The water to grist ratio.
No, but it also accounts in Beersmith for how much is left in the kettle after you've transferred. The hole is above the bottom, so there's a little bit of wort loss. And two, there's a bunch of troob in there behind.
You said dead space in the mash tun.
Before.
No, just before. Right now.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Then don't hold me to that.
All right.
The point is, I'm transferring 12 gallons.
Okay.
Because I'm leaving a gallon in the kettle.
Right.
I'm boiling off a gallon.
Right.
So I'm transferring 12 gallons. So yes. I keep my batch size at 12 gallons. In my profile, correct?
Got it.
That's what you want.
Is that what I'm asking you? That's what I should do?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't up that batch size to 14 gallons.
No. I mean, you could, but basically stick to that constant because you already have that locked in.
Okay.
What you're really trying to work on is getting that efficiency nailed.
Okay.
And like Tasty was saying earlier, you're going to get that through a few different trials, basically.
Yeah.
But know that you can always adjust during the boil to help hit your OG until you know that efficiency exactly.
Okay.
Well, and also the easy way to do it is drop your efficiency from 85 to 75 and see what happens.
Okay.
And then you don't have to worry about anything.
Does it go without saying that after 8 years, I feel like I'm still the same fucking...
No. Because if you think
like
about
your learning, dope.
Your learning curve is so much... It's not as dramatic as everybody else. It's more of a lazy kind of way up because you haven't brewed as much.
Right.
So most people just getting into all-grain brewing have brewed about as much as you have. So you're right on pace for someone who just started a year ago.
I see.
Right.
Because I've only brewed that many batches.
I don't think you've even brewed 10 batches in your entire life.
It's probably just about that. It's probably 9 to 10 batches.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So don't worry about it.
Okay.
Tiger.
Well, I am much less discouraged this time around. It just feels like I have the same... Like, I'm texting Doc, and he's like, learn from your mistakes. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Fuck you in the face. I am trying to learn from my mistakes every time, which is why I measured it 27 times pre-boil. I still got the measurement wrong, clearly.
Just now, when you do the pre-boil, is it boiling?
Yeah, this time it was, because I've made that mistake in the past.
And that mistake is?
To measure before it's come to a boil so that I feel like it's really all mixed up.
Yeah, Andy Carter just texted me and reminded that that's something you might want to do.
I have made that mistake in the past.
Or at least take your spoon and blend it together.
I did both this time. However, clearly, not enough, because the measurement was wrong. The measurement was not accurate. Right.
There's still something weird.
I know.
I usually measure at least twice at the beginning before the boil hits with the refract.
And twice. God, I wish it was just twice.
Well, I think you should. Well, this part of the problem is why, you know, what happens when you're the assistant brewer to Chad for so long. You should have called him. He helped you with your red ale. He'll help you with this one.
He did. I messed up all the gravities on my red ale, too.
And Chad messed up.
Chad didn't help with any of it. Otherwise, if Chad had helped, I would have had him correct my gravity problems in the red ale. But I left it what it was because it was my beer.
Another wrench for efficiency, which we shouldn't overlook, but I want to get rat-holed on it too long, is the how finely you've milled the grain.
Whatever more beers thing
exactly. Does. So if that varies a little bit over time, you might see your efficiency potentially bounce around.
I can't deal with that, Nathan. Exactly. That is too much variable for me. I can't handle
that. So
stick to that. Keep that as constant as you can. Just keep getting the stuff of more beer then, and try to get a constant for your efficiency. That will help.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm texting Doc at the end of the thing. He's like, how'd you do? And I go, well, I cut the difference in half. So whereas I was about 6 points off on the red ale, I think I'm only about 3 points off on this one. And then lo and behold, science hates me, and I'm 6 fucking points off of where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. I'm right back where I was when I take the post-boil.
Low both times?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Change your brew house efficiency.
At least that's constant.
Okay. I'll do it. All advice is welcome, and thank you for listening, for bearing with me. I hope that there are others out there. I do not wish my retardedness upon you, but I do hope there are others out there who at least learn from the tips of these guys to help dial in your efficiency. And this will be an ongoing conversation as I keep brewing. It's going to be a couple weeks now because all my stuff is full. But I did enjoy it until I missed that number. Until the impossible thing happened that my gravity was lower than when I started, and for like an hour, I'm just like, I had a great day. I had such a nice
day. Was it raining outside?
Oh, it was sunny out, and it was nice, and I had
a storm went through.
Yeah, you think it filled with water. I think my neighbor came over and JP came over and put water in it when I wasn't looking.
Sabotage you.
There were several times that I left the brew and anything could have happened. And I had such a nice day, and then I missed that number, and I'm just like, fuck this. This sucks. I just spent the last 8 hours trying to get this right.
I can feel your frustration.
You're only 6 points off. It's not going to be that bad. It's not going to be that bad.
6 points is enormous, isn't
it's not
it?
Bad. No, it's fine.
That's being nice. That's an enormous...
No. It's not 6 points. It's just a Play-Doh and a half. You're cool.
Yeah.
You just got to change the numbering system.
Good call.
Right?
Well, that does make me feel better already. Yeah. If I do it that way. All right, we got a couple more things to do, and we'll get out of here again. Thanks for bearing with that, and I hope you got to learn something, too. Are the two phone calls we have, Beaver, is this all for Brew's Line, is it? Or are they Drunk of the Week calls? She's still answering calls.
What'd you say? Sorry, my headphones went on. What did you say?
The only thing I'm worse at than brewing is radio, apparently. The callers.
The two call to Steve-O and Matt are line one and line two, and they're for Bruise Line, and then I have somebody on line three who's a drunk of the week call.
Okay.
He is hecka drunk.
All right, let's do that. Let's do drunk of the week real quick. Who is it?
I haven't gotten that far yet. I started talking to you.
I'll just take it. Put him on hold. Okay. Caller, you're over drunk of the week. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, ass?
Who's calling?
Big Daddy Brewer.
Oh, you called in earlier.
Yes, I did. I had it cooked on yeast, but, you know, this is my second time calling ever into the show and catching you guys live. Same time, I think.
Gabby Johnson is right about Cricket Johnson being right.
That's exactly what Big Daddy Brewer sounds like. Where are you calling from? I forget.
Joplin, Missouri, man.
Missouri.
Joplin, Missouri.
Is it flooding there?
Bubba Jives out here.
Bubba Jives.
I love Bubba Jives.
Bubba Jives, because you fucked it, Vernon.
What have you been drinking tonight? Homebrew or commercial beer?
Scoots of party.
I've had a couple of homebrews.
Yeah.
Actually, my first homebrews, but I've also been drinking...
They're your first homebrews?
Yeah.
Nice. How you feel getting drunk on your very first homebrews?
Love them.
It feels good, doesn't it? I remember when I got drunk on my first homebrew.
There's nothing better than that, man.
It was like a week... What?
It's a good derp.
It was like a week ago, and I enjoyed it. It's, how hammered are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
About an 8 or 9.
How do your friends know when you're drunk?
Scared to burn.
If I fall over, if I shit up, or if I shit in their front living room, that's how they know I'm drunk.
Wait a second. Have you shit in a friend's living room before?
No. I thought it was a bathroom.
That makes sense.
I kid you not. I was fucked up and thought it was their bathroom.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Are you still friends with that?
They had a weird Martin Hart chair. I had a hole in the middle of it.
All right, now it's full of shit.
Not anymore.
That's kind of that's specific information for someone who's lying.
I don't know. If you could go on a date with one of the brewcasters in this room, who would it be, excluding Bevo?
Well, hell, you don't have Daniela in there anymore, so I think it has to be Doc.
Oh, you go on a date with Doc.
He's a gentleman.
I like that's the second choice to Daniela. Well, Doc, he's sexy in a foreign sort of way.
He's petite.
Yeah. In what way are you inadequate?
I'm too short.
Okay.
Like Doc.
He's a Doc talker.
Also, you know, you think toilets are modern art installations.
Right. Okay, well, I'll tell you, the man sounds drunk to me.
They can be skewed in Europe.
You
don't know that place?
I'm sorry, I can't understand you. What?
No, it's right there in Joplin, Missouri.
It's for Skakashevre. It's down the street from Blair.
Oh, I know the lady. Are you going to
All right, you're in the running for Drunk of the Week, Big Daddy Brewer. Thanks for the phone call. Much appreciated. Did I drop him? I tried to drop him.
Drop him, Missouri.
So what do we just have two contestants for Bruce Line Beef?
Yes.
That's good for me. Let's do it. All right, we got Steve-O on the line. Steve-O, what's happening?
Steve-O.
He sounds very sober.
What up, Justin?
How are you, brother?
Oh, I'm good, man. Hey, you got sober Steve-O today, so we're good.
What?
Are we good? Wow. He said, "Grace to get yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good."
Steve-O, are you going to the SoCal Homebrew Festival?
I'm working on it right now. I actually have the days off. My wife's listening, too. So I want to get a hold of you and get the details on that. What we got to do?
Nothing. You just got to show up and
I have
camp.
The days off. Fuck. All right.
Do you have...
I don't have... Well, let me tell you. I don't have no camping gear. I don't have none of that shit.
Just steal some.
Yeah,
just take
I don't
it.
Got homebrew. I don't got shit, dude. I could show up. I don't got shit, though. I'll pour.
You can cuddle with Sam. I'm not going.
Yeah, Sam. No, because Sam's sleeping in my bus. I don't want Steve-O in my bus. He'll steal my bike. I keep my bike in my bus.
Hey, my wife's listening right now, so this is good. This is good. Let's have a conversation right now.
What's your wife's name again, Steve-O?
I got the day off, so I'm already trying to work on it still.
Well, if you got the day off,
I plan on being there.
What's the problem? If you have the day off, what is there to work on?
I want to take my wife up there, and if she can't go, I really don't want to go alone. I don't have no camping gear. I don't want
you to go alone either, because then I have to take care of you, and you're going to be all hammered, and it'll be like, oh, I got to worry about Steve-O.
I can handle my own, dog. Don't worry about me.
Does your wife... What if we brought you camping gear? Is your wife willing to camp, or is she one of those, like, I don't camp
she
people?
She just said right now she don't like to camp. Look, she's listening.
Let me talk to her. Put her on the phone. Right. Which, by the way,
Tatiana,
sober.
Lower your phone, babe. It's messing it up. Lower your phone.
Because his wife is right there listening. That's why he's sober. Guarantee it.
Hello?
Hi, Tatiana.
Hello.
How you doing, girl?
I'm good. How about yourself?
We're doing all right over here. It's interesting to hear Steve-O call in sober.
What's up, girl?
I know, because I keep him in check.
Somebody has to keep him in check. So listen.
What part of the check?
You don't like to camp?
Yeah, he asked me for it, but we have kind of like family situation where I need to take care of the dog, too, during that weekend off. So,
well,
I don't know.
Can't you get a dog sitter?
I'll try to, but they're asking me to babysit the dog, so I'm kind of the dog sitter.
Oh, they're not even your dog?
No, it's my mother-in-law's.
She can find another dog sitter.
Yeah. No,
Tatiana, don't let her take
me.
Advantage of you. Right. You remember that time at Thanksgiving where she took advantage of you? And remember on Cinco de Mayo when you guys wanted to go out and she took advantage of you? This is time...
No, she never did that.
This is the time you need to stand up for yourself and for your husband and do something...
She never did that.
Man, you just don't remember.
What's your mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Come on. I'm rough. I know how to drink.
Listen,
I have a good memory, too, so...
All I'm going to say is it's a really fun time, and it's a good crowd. I know we sound like a bunch of maniacs, but at the SoCal Homebrew Festival, it's a really good crowd, and I think you'd have fun. And if you can do it, you should go with Steve-O. He doesn't want to go without you.
Yeah. Tatiana?
I told him to go.
I know, but he wants to have you there. He doesn't want to go without you.
And you said that you're going to bring the camping gear?
Here's what happened. I will bring the camping gear. I'll bring a tent. I'll bring a sleeping bag. I think I even have an air mattress to put in the tent. And we have an RV in our camp. Now, it's not my RV, so you can't sleep in it. But it means that there's like a kitchen in it and all the comforts of home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty...
What about if I'm going to think about it?
You should think about it. Yeah, you don't have to answer me now, but you should think about it and know that it's a good time. You take my word for it. You'll have fun.
Tatiana, if I were you, I wouldn't go. I'm not going.
That's because JP hates everything.
I hate camping, and all the beer is going to be terrible. It won't be hot. This is my time now. It's going to be hot.
But it's your time against everything I just did.
Well, but that's
okay. What do you get out of her not going? Whereas I get the company of Steve out of them going.
I'm doing both of you a favor.
I don't like camping either.
Yeah, Tatiana doesn't like camping.
Okay, guys, I'm going to give you back to Steve-O.
All right, goodbye.
She doesn't like camping.
Okay, it's hard to have the conversation.
That's okay.
Nice talking to you. I'm going to give it back to Steve-O.
Thank you, Tatiana. Okay. Goodbye.
You know me, I'm kind of a dick. You don't want this guy hanging all over you, dude.
Well, Steve-O,
come on, JP.
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, brother?
Listen.
I'm listening on the other phone, dog.
I know.
I tried, buddy. Hey. I don't know. It doesn't sound promising.
No. You know what? The biggest issue with her is like she don't like the camp because she says that she likes to drink, too, so... I'm going to end up babysitting her.
She's going to have fun. This whole dog-sitting thing is bullshit.
It is bullshit.
I'll tell you that right now. That's a bullshit excuse.
My mom does a lot for us, and she asked my wife for a favor, and she doesn't want to break it.
Take the dog to the kennel.
Anyway, but on the real, she doesn't want to pee in the bushes, as she said. She thinks camping is like real camping.
It's a bathroom.
When they camp in Russia, they camp in the fucking forest where you got to fucking wipe your ass with a leaf.
Is she the only Russian who sounds like a Mexican on Earth?
I told her she doesn't have a Russian accent. She sounds like a Mexican.
She's
been living with you for too long.
Man, I drink hella vodka.
Picked up your accent. Yeah. You taught her well.
I think she heard my accent and she just adapted.
All right. Steve, are you going to play Bruce Line?
I'll be there. I'll be there, Justin. Right.
Stay here. I'm gonna keep you on the line.
I'm gonna take you up on that camping gear, though, dude. I don't have any camping gear at all.
If you tell me you're going, I'll bring the camping gear.
Here's what you do, Jaden. Number everything.
All right, I'll be there. Then. I'll be there. I'll be there.
And fucking barcode it, and then make him check it in before he leaves.
All right, Steve, hang on. Keep your mouth shut for a second. Okay. We can meet our other contestants.
I'm not drunk today. I'm not going
to
talk about it.
All right, that's fine. All right, let's go to Matt in Washington. Matt, what's happening?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for calling
Matt's
in.
Matt's really happy right now. Doing good.
Well,
how are you?
I'm Chuckanut today, so I'm having a good day.
See, there you go. I can tell.
Oh, he's at Chuckanut.
Yeah.
I'll make a boy happy.
Oh, man. Nice.
What'd you have? What was your favorite beer there?
I had a Kolsch and a Helles.
Nice. Not bad.
And a little corned beef hash.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. We got Theo Brew on the line. I've been wondering where the hell Theo Brew has been. Theo, what's happening?
Eating somewhere.
Hey.
How are you, dude?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Where you been? Is it like God Finals or something? We haven't heard from you in a few weeks.
You haven't been on for a few weeks.
Jesus made it into the Final Four bracket.
You guys are never on.
We were on last week, and then the last one before that. I haven't heard from you in a while, Theo. I thought maybe you turned to the bright side, the light side.
Well, no, I mean, I told you I was taking a break from DOTW, so I'm only calling in when things like this happening.
I see. So you're sober tonight.
Well, I'm feeling good. I just popped a Wookiee Jack, so halfway through the game, something might happen. We'll see.
Okay. Are you a priest yet?
No, I'm working on my paperwork right now.
On my paperwork. What is it, that online school? What is it, like the Church of
Universal Life Church, man.
You went to the wrong website. I can do that in 20 minutes.
Working on my paperwork.
I wish it were that easy.
Okay.
I got about 100 pages of theological stuff I'm writing right now.
Are you writing anything on that that priest they stopped the canonization for because he helped all the Nazis get out?
No.
No, he should be.
Did you think there was going to be another answer than no to that, JP?
I was hoping you might, you know, I don't know.
Actually, yes! That's it.
Funny. It's real interesting.
Dissertation on it right now.
The new pope is doing some big moves, man.
Okay.
Actually, I do mention the pope in my paperwork.
T? What, Hitler's pope or the new pope?
The new pope.
Oh. Well, it's not interesting, then.
That's not good.
Oh, sorry.
All right,
Theo has a sexy voice.
He does. That's what the altar boys say to him all the time.
I'd let him baptize me with his holy water.
Oh, my God.
Into the chamber.
I would watch the video of him baptizing you with his holy water.
I'd be real mad if we can call it pissy baptisms.
Well, Theo, your holy water's 98.8 degrees.
It's more the smoking videos.
Yeah. Seven to my sacristy.
This is so terrible.
That's good because it also has a lot of vitamin B in it.
Oh, shit. All right, let's play Bruce Line, Is It Anyway? This is the game where Moscow will play a clip. Actually, he will read a clip from one of the brewcasters. You'll have to guess who said it, and then he'll play the clip to tell us who it was. Of course, you can get help from the studio here, if you will. So we got Steve-O, Matt, and Theo all playing. What's our first clip?
Well, let me tell you the categories first. The options are Tasty, JP, Justin, Bevo, Doc, or a caller.
Okay, so Nate's not in this one.
Not this one.
Okay.
The first one is, I was like a gazelle. I ended ass up because I chose to. I wish I could find Jamil ass up in a ravine.
I have a vague recollection of this conversation.
I think I know where it's from.
All right, Theo, go ahead.
Okay, so it sounds like it's the backyard of the Rat Pad.
Oh! Okay, go on. Mm. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go Jay.
You think it was me?
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't even hear it.
Read it again, please, Moscow.
I was like a gazelle. I ended ass up because I chose to. I wish I could find Jamil ass up in a ravine.
Fuck, my wife said JP, Steve-O, and I agree with her. I think it's JP.
Okay. And
or it was Doc.
Matt, what do you think?
I'm gonna have to go with Jay. That was a J line.
So here's what confuses me about it is it's definitely about the time that Jamil went walking in the backyard of the rat pad to take a piss and then disappeared. He just fell over. It just was gone. It sounds like it's Jamil saying it in the beginning, but then he references himself at the end.
And Jamil's not an option in any case.
Oh, I see. So this is where I'm confused. I ended up assed up in the...
Yeah, I'm going Jed.
Okay, I'm going to lock in Steve-O, Matt, and Theo's answers. Steve-O says JP, Matt says me, and Theo says me.
I'm way better at this shit when I'm drunk.
I'm thinking Doc.
I think Doc.
I think Doc.
I'm like a gazelle.
No, I locked you guys in already.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, what the hell? Because we were
going to... Everyone's
switching.
I thought we were supposed to get help from you guys.
All right, I'll give you help. So everyone wants to switch to Doc now, or what?
No, I almost did, but
I'm staying with Jay.
All right, Matt's staying with Jay. Theo's staying with Jay. Steve-O, you want to switch to Doc?
Yeah.
All right, Steve-O's switching to Doc. I think it's Doc.
I think it's Doc.
Tasty, what do you think? Anybody?
I think it makes sense if it was Doc, yeah.
Nate? But
it kind of does, but I don't know, man. I have a vague recollection of this, too, and it makes me think it might be you.
I think it's you.
I
feel like you would use the word gazelle.
That's agree with Bebo on that, is that I would be the gay one to use the word gazelle.
No.
Exactly.
Everything else I wouldn't say.
Doc knows what a gazelle is.
Opposite.
Was this a Thompson gazelle?
Is this when you drove the Hummer into a ditch at NorCal the first time or something?
No. Doc fell into a ditch.
That's what
while
it was.
I was driving the Hummer.
That's what it was.
Oh, memories.
I think Doc would call himself a gazelle, but I don't think he would say the second part.
I see.
I think you would say the second part, but maybe not the first part. But now that I'm going to switch, I'm going to vote you.
All right. So I'm Doc. JP is me. Theo is me. Matt is me.
Who am I?
Steve-O is Doc. Tasty is Doc. Nathan is
Justin.
And Bevo is Justin. Moscow, play it.
I was like a gazelle. I ended ass up because I chose to.
There you go.
I wish I could find Jamil ass up in a ravine.
Now that makes more sense. It's JP as Jamil.
That was when...
Steve-O, you almost had a point.
Jamil didn't actually go to take a piss. What he did was he threw a toy for Walker.
I knew it had something
to do with
the
fetch,
dog.
And he threw it too far, and it went into the ravine, and you were like, don't even worry about it. Oh, no. You told him the dog will stare at it for hours.
Oh, that's
I want
true.
The toy back. So Jamil went to try and retrieve it
and
fell into the ravine.
And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen Jamil.
But you were like legitimately worried about it. You were like, that's 6 feet.
It's
fell
a
in his face.
Because he fell head first down this thing.
What was the weird voice I was doing?
I don't know.
She said I can't go to SoCal now because I didn't listen to her.
All right, no points for anybody on that one. All right,
I thought Steve-O guessed JP.
No, he switched it to Doc when I said I think it's Doc.
Gotta go with your first instinct.
Yeah. All right, give us the next one.
3.5%, you have to drink fast to get high, you know? You gotta throw him down.
Tasty.
Who's that? Steve-O said that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's Doc for sure.
I'm gonna go Doc.
Yeah. Is that Matt?
Yeah.
All right. Matt says Doc. And Theo goes Doc also. Read it again.
Theo hasn't said Doc.
Oh, sorry.
He hasn't said anything.
Okay. All right.
Theo's going with Nate because Nate is the one who makes the really good low ABV beer.
I don't think I'm in on the.
Yeah. Nate's not a category. Theo.
Oh, it does sound like some crap. I'd say though.
Yeah. He's not an option. So pick another Theo.
Oh, Nate's not an option.
No.
Then I'll go with, I don't even know, I'm Doc probably.
All right, read it again, Musk.
That's weird.
3.5%, you have to drink fast to get high, you know, gotta throw him down.
I think Tasty.
It's actually Tasty. It's Tasty.
It could be me.
Can I get a list of options if Nate's not a brewcaster?
Yeah,
Tasty, JP, Justin, Bevo, Doc, caller.
You know what's a good giveaway?
He likes to say you know.
I do. I think I say you know more than anybody.
You know?
I think at the end I go, yeah, you know? It's like this, it's like that. I say a bunch of things, you know?
Do you know?
Yeah. But the whole high thing.
That doesn't sound like
it. That's the old school word, high. Who gets high?
Yeah, I don't talk about drink. When I talk about catching a buzz, I say catch a buzz. I don't say get high.
Yeah, that's the old man's word.
That's not very
Steve,
nice.
I'm going to get you.
I love you, Tasty.
I love you too, Steve.
Jip, what do you think?
I think it's Doc, man.
Diego, Tasty.
JP goes Doc. JP's good at this game. Doc's
I missed
good,
the last one.
Doc's a good call. Tasty, what do you think?
It's either Doc or me. I think it's about 60% chance it's Doc.
Okay. Nate?
I think it's got to be Doc. Beaver? But it might be a caller, so I'll stick with Doc.
Know. Oh, there's caller, too. Beef doesn't know.
I have no idea.
All right, I'm going to go Doc also. And Steve-O, you want to stay with Tasty?
Yeah, I'm sticking my gut. I won the last time we played this, so I'm sticking my gut again.
All right, Matt, you want to stay with Doc?
I'm locked in with Doc.
Theo, staying with Doc?
I like Tasty.
Are you switching to Tasty? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, play it.
3.5%, you have to drink fast.
Yeah!
Really throw them
out. Yeah,
all right, that's...
I told you I'm good at this game.
That's a point you for rock, Steve-O yeah. and a point for Theo right there. Good.
I should have kept that first one too, though. Shit.
Good last minute switch there, Theo.
Bevo just gave everyone in the chat a boner.
Sorry.
She forgot to turn her shitty mic off again. She goes...
She was thinking about a sandwich.
The fucking Cool Ranch Dorito so taco.
I was trying to save you from all the snide comments or the perverted
You're
comments.
Such a jerk.
What kind of sandwich?
Let's do those right now.
All right, read us the next one, Moscow.
I don't like drugs that control the amount of chemicals in your brain. I think I can do it on my own.
That's Doc.
Yeah, that's gotta be, right? Who said
Doc?
Was that Matt?
Steve-O
was
Doc.
All right, Steve-O says Doc. Matt, what do you say?
I'm thinking that's JP.
Okay. Theo?
Yeah, I'm going JP. JP's the one who's all weird about that.
That's a good call. Say it again, Moscow.
I don't like drugs that control the amount of chemicals in your brain. I think I can do it on my own.
Oh, that might be JP. JP
is delusional enough to say that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the opposite of that statement.
Hey, it's working so far.
It is?
Yeah.
I feel like it's either JP or it's me talking about how I'm all superwoman and can have a natural childbirth, because remember how I tried that?
Oh!
And that didn't work out very well for me.
I got you, Bevo. I agree.
I don't know, though.
All right, Steve-O.
It doesn't really control your brain.
I don't care. You convinced me enough. I'm going with Bevo.
All right, Steve-O switching to Bevo.
I don't know.
Matt's going with JP. Theo's going with JP. I'm also going with JP. JP?
I'm going with JP.
Tasty?
JP, for sure.
Nate?
It's got to be Jipper.
And Bevo, you going with yourself?
No, I think I'm going to go with JP.
Okay, play it.
I don't like drugs that control the amount of chemicals in your brain. I think I can do it on my own.
There it is.
You know, Steve-O talks over every clip. He just talks over every clip and you can't ever hear it.
Play it again, Moscow.
I can't hear shit.
I don't like drugs that control the amount of chemicals in your brain. I can do it on my own.
Is that in regards to flying?
Yes, that's
probably,
correct.
That sounded real sad.
All right, that's a point for Matt.
I can't hear nothing myself. That's why I'm just talking. I can't hear nothing, dude.
That's a point for Matt and a point for Theo, giving Theo the lead. It's 2 points for Theo, 1 point for Matt, 1 point for Steve-O. What's the next one, Moscow?
All medication has side effects. Come on. Uppers make me feel like God, but I'm okay with that.
If that's not Doc, I'm going to shit my pants.
Yeah, who else in here?
Who else has a God complex? Well, I mean, maybe, but Doc.
I'm the only close second that could have possibly made that statement.
There's no
and
way.
And I don't even think
There's
I'm that close.
There's no way you would say that.
Yeah, that's a Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doc all the way. Theo Doc.
All right, Theo Doc. Matt?
I'm going to go Dark Horse with you, Justin.
Okay. It's possible. There is. I would be the one curveball.
Well, yeah.
Steve-O?
You do have a God complex.
I didn't hear shit, but my wife said that. I can't hear nothing, dude. I'm having a bad time on this one. So
change ears, man.
All right. Read it once more, Moscow, just so we all know.
All medication has side effects. Come on, uppers make me feel like God, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that.
That kind of sounds like Justin to me, dude. But I'm going to go with Doc. My wife would get pissed if I don't follow with on one fucking answer.
All right, Steve-O's still Doc. Theo, what were you saying?
I was saying that the only reason it's a Dr. J is because of the Vyvanse.
The Vyvanse?
Vyvanse. You don't talk about Jay.
I have no idea.
No, the your ADD, ADHD meds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't take them. Sometimes I borrow Doc's. But yeah, I could see your point.
But you always give them back.
Matt, you're staying with me on that one?
Yeah, staying with you.
All right, so we got Steve-O, Doc, Matt is me, Theo is Doc, and yeah, I don't think it's me. I'm stay with my thought about Doc. JP, you're going Doc?
Yeah, I'm going Doc. Man.
Tasty?
Yeah, I'd go with Doc.
Nathan?
It's gotta be Doc.
Beav?
Doc.
Okay, play it.
All medication has side effects. Come on, uppers make me feel like God, but I'm okay with that.
Sorry. I like the way Doc says, like, tries to say those things in passing, like
really sober.
Come on, they make me feel like God. I'm okay with that. Like it never happened,
right?
All right, that gives Theo another point. It also gives Steve-O a point. Matt loses doesn't lose a point, but doesn't gain one. So that's Theo 3, Steve-O in second place with 2, Matt with 1. Give us the next one, Moscow. How many you got left?
Plenty.
Okay.
If you wanted to roll all together in members-only jackets, you could borrow those and then burn them.
I feel like there's too many options. There's like 6 options,
yeah,
right?
A lot of options. JP might like members-only. He don't want to burn them.
Read it again.
If you wanted to roll all together in members-only jackets, you could borrow those and then burn them.
You could borrow those. Maybe it's the influx.
It's and JP.
What are the choices again?
It's angsty. Yeah,
Tasty JP, Justin, Bevo, Doc, Collar.
It's angsty. It's got to be JP.
It's like 12 people.
I'm going to go Bevo.
Oh. I think Bevo, too.
Oh, that's a good call. Because Sam does wear members-only jackets.
That's where that's coming from.
Bevo's too young for
and
that.
I wouldn't mind if they were all set on fire.
Yeah, Bevo likes to say, Bevo likes to go, and then burn them.
And then burn them.
And it's a little bit ghetto in the beginning where I'm like, we can all roll together.
Yeah. JP makes a good point. Bevo's making a good point. All right, Steve-O, who are you voting for?
I'm all Bevo. Okay. I called it first.
All right, Matt?
I'm going to deal with Bevo as well.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to stop saying my answers first, man. You guys copied me.
Theo?
I don't know. The golfing reference and Jay is just getting me. So Jay.
Okay. That's a chance to take a further lead. I don't think it's me. I still think that JP is the other one who's as cynical, at least as Bevo, that might say that. But I think I'm just going out on a limb to try to be different, because I think it's really very likely Bevo.
It's not me.
All right, I'll stick with... Ah, damn it.
I'll stick caller. With, go I'll, caller. I'll, let's go caller.
Our callers aren't that clever.
You're right.
Tasty, who do you think it is?
I think it's Bevo.
Yeah.
There's a chance it's you.
Nate?
I'm going to say... JP, just the hell of it.
Okay, I'm going to stick with JP. I suck at this game, but I'm sticking with JP.
That's not me.
And you're saying Beav.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Moss.
If you wanted to roll in there all together and members of the jackets,
identical
you
colors.
Could borrow those and then burn them.
There you go.
And then burn them.
Yeah, I'm good
and
burn at that
them.
Game, dude.
And burn them. And burn them.
All right, that made Steve-O tie the game with Theo and also gave Matt another point. He's just 1 point behind. Give us the next one.
No mustache. Clean shaven. You've got to be clean-shaven, JP, you jackass.
That's a caller.
It's either a caller or Justin. Not that many people will talk to you like that.
Right. Have you heard our caller? They're all dicks.
I say caller or Bevo.
Oh, that's true. I would say that, too, but...
Damn, that's a tough one.
Steve, Bevo caller would give instructions about how you look, but... I don't know that she'd call you a jackass at the end.
I also don't think it would be 2 Beavs in a row.
No.
Guess.
Really?
And I don't really care about your facial hair.
Yeah.
You said that last time I did 2 in a row. Stupid beard.
See?
Say, you first.
I think I'm going to go caller.
I just had it threaded yesterday.
Steve-O, you're going caller?
I think so, yeah. I don't hear anyone say jackass on the show.
Matt, who are you going with?
I'm going to have to go with JP.
Okay. And Theo?
Is Scott an option?
Who?
Scott.
No.
No. Moscow, no.
Then I'm going Joe.
Going with me. Can you read it for me once more? What is this beer, anyway? I need some beer.
That's Nate.
That's a milk stout. Yep. Check it out. The quote is, no mustache. Clean shaven. You've got to be clean shaven, JP, you jackass.
I don't like JP clean shaven.
I don't like me either.
Oh, I gotta change mine. I didn't hear the JP part at the end. That doesn't make any sense, but for me to pick JP, I'm going Doc.
Who's that? Theo changing to Doc?
Matt.
All right, Matt's changing to Doc. Okay. And Theo staying with Jay.
Yep.
Steve-O staying with Caller. Huh. It's me. I think it is me. I think you've come in here with a clean face, and I've liked it once.
You talking about going to the awards ceremony? Is that what we were talking about?
It could have been something
here?
Like that. It could have been like we were planning to go somewhere, and I was like, listen, you jackass, you got to clean it up. Although I never call people jackass. No, I don't.
That part is weird.
Yeah,
that doesn't
that's
add
my
up.
Point. I don't hear anyone say jackass.
Who says jackass? JP says jackass.
No, well,
but he's talking about him.
But he does that. He talks to himself down sometimes. That's he's like, he'll be like, why did you just fuck that up, you jackass?
Yeah, he's holding a handheld mirror and...
Yeah, he will.
My daily affirmation.
It could be JP, even though he's talking to himself.
I think it's a caller.
All right, JP says caller, Moscow, Tasty, what do you think?
I'm thinking Bevo.
Okay. Nate?
Caller.
Okay.
Caller.
Yeah, I'm going to go caller, too. The other ones, there's some discrepancies. So, caller. Play it.
No mustache, clean shaven. You're going to be clean shaven, JP, you jackass.
I am fucking the master of this game, dude.
All right, Steve-O just took the lead with 4 points. Theo's just one behind. Matt's got two. Let's do another. This could be the win. Theo, if you tie it up, it'll be against you guys in a final. Otherwise, if Steve-O gets it, it could be the win. Go ahead and read it, please.
Your father is so proud of you. Like he probably writes you letters like, dear son, thank you for fighting for my right to be gay.
Wow. Well, I do have a lot of daddy issues, so maybe that's me, but I don't think it is.
No, I'm calling it. That's JP talking about me.
Oh, Theo is saying it's JP talking to Theo.
JP talking about a caller.
No, I think it's Tasty.
What? It's okay to be gay on the inside.
I think it's McDowell. I really do.
Oh, that'd be a
classic.
I have a history.
Oh my gosh, when did you say that?
No, I remember this. It's JP talking to me.
All right, Theo remembers it, and he's saying it's JP. Matt?
Yep, that's definitely JP. I think he's talking about Theo, okay.
Yeah, Theo, that's when you say that last. You don't lead off with, no, everybody. It was, I remember.
Especially when you're about to tie the game. Yeah. Steve-O, who do you think it is?
Thank you, Theo. I love you, brother. Give me the answer. I'm going to have to go with JP.
I everybody thinks it's JP,
I could
right?
be wrong. I'm a little drunk.
Anybody else think it's not JP? All right, play
it's McDowell.
Your father is so proud of you.
Wow.
Like he probably writes you letters like, dear son, thank you for fighting for my right to be gay. Who was I talking to?
Who were you
talking to? Do you know the context, Moscow?
I don't remember this one. Give me a minute. Maybe I'll remember.
Who the hell? Why the hell would I say something so terrible?
Yeah,
that had to be JP.
We're not so different, are we?
Yeah. This is when I'm closest to JP is when we realize we're not so different.
Thank you, chat room. It was about the gay flag with the other flag.
Oh, the Marine.
Yeah. Oh, in Pacheco.
The Pacheco.
They had the Marine
the
flag.
The Marine flag and a rainbow
American
flag.
The American flag and a rainbow flag.
Yeah, there you go.
And then what did I say? Play it.
You said...
Your father is so proud of you. Like, he probably writes you letters like, dear son, thank you for fighting for my right to be gay.
Is that? I don't think that's it. That's
no,
weird.
Because I thought my impression was that it wasn't the parent, it wasn't the dude's kid that was gay. It was him.
Oh,
gay.
Yeah. And I think we said no. Maybe it's the dad. I don't know.
Gay.
I just remember JP
gay.
Making a lot of comments
gay.
About me being gay.
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 Gay. Gay.
There's nothing wrong with that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know.
Gay.
Well, there's a lot of tearing probably that happens.
Gay. Right. Okay. Gay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. Well, we all got it wrong. Because we all thought that JP was the only asshole in the room. Okay. Well, that would make Steve-O the winner, but that's no fun. Let's at least have a little chance at this. Give us one more.
Yeah, we need to go in and do another JP insult segment.
Well, that's not nice.
Yeah, it's not nice at all.
It's like JP talking about himself.
Yeah, it's JP.
Again.
It's McDole.
It's either Tasty or JP. It's either JP making fun of himself or Tasty really looking forward to another
show. Looking for some entertainment value.
Yeah.
Let's make this interesting.
It's what it is. It's McDole.
I think it is me.
I remember this.
Oh, you remember it?
I don't know. Like Theo remembered his fucking bullshit. I don't know.
All right. Theo, we're going to you first. Who do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go JP.
Okay.
Because you remember this.
Matt, what do you think?
I think I lost anyway, so I'm just going to go Bevo.
Okay. Oh.
If it's Bevo, I'm going to punch it right in the...
That's not a bad call.
Four-letter word.
Steve-O, what do you think?
Shin.
May I have Moscow repeat that for me, please?
Yeah,
we need to go in and do another JP insult segment.
I'm going to go... Nate's not in this, right?
No.
Nathan's much too kind to say that.
Right.
I don't know about
JP.
That.
That's JP. That's you, JP.
All right, Steve-O
JP
says JP. I think it's Tasty.
I think it is, too.
I hope it's Tasty.
Bevo, you want to go Tasty?
Ye
Nate?
Let's go Tasty.
And fun. Jip, I know you think it's Tasty. Oh, yeah. We all think it's Tasty. Yeah. All right, play it.
Yeah, we need to go on and do another JP insult.
All right. No points for our contestants, but we still have Steve-O in the lead with 4 points. Steve-O's our winner in this edition of Bruce Line.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you to Steve-O, Matt, and Theo. You should all email jp@thebrewingnetwork.com. We'll send you all a prize. Steve-O, you will get double the prize. How about that?
You know, that's like $5 every time we ship something out.
Tell Jipper to send my Drunk of the Week medal and my shirt with it, too.
No.
Put it all in one thing, please, JP.
Nope.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Great game all around. Okay. Gay.
Are we taking any more Drunk of the Week calls,
no.
Or was that guy sufficient?
That dude won. Yeah. Big Daddy Brewer, your Drunk of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. Good job.
Well, then he kept messaging me in the chat going, hey, I need help with a recipe. Hey, I have all this grain. Hey, and I'm like, really?
You're
hammered.
Oh, dude, I'll help you right now, Big Daddy Brewer.
He called and he wanted to relay that on the phone, on the air, and I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. Like, you're going to have to, like, message that to us or something.
Oh, man. Good call, Bevo. Look at Bevo screening phone calls.
Every now and then.
Love it. All right. I think that's it. Hey, don't forget you can get your free 21-day trial of your Beersmith brewing software. You know, don't take my experience as your example of what brewing software to use. I am retarded. But I am in there using Beersmith with all the brew days I'm doing, and it's helping me.
It's me
that's not helping me. But you can go in there and get your free 21-day trial for PC or Mac. Go to beersmith.com right now and check it out. And you won't be disappointed. It's so robust, and there's different things. I did have a good time putting in my system profile to get started with figuring out where my efficiency is. And there's actually a video right there on the website that tells you how to enter your system profile. Of course, it can't tell you what some of the information is. You have to go calculate that, and of course, that's where I'm having the trouble. But you can put in a system profile for maybe you have more than one brewing system that you use, and you can do all that, and different recipes. You can scale up recipes and scale down recipes. That part I did do, I think, appropriately, and it makes it pretty easy. You just hit the scale button, and you go up or down. It's pretty simple. All sorts of good stuff. Go to beersmith.com right now and check it out.
That's how Bevo feels every morning.
Yeah. What?
Hit the scale and you go up and you go down.
You go up and you go down. I was trying to lose weight there for a little while too, Beav, and I hit a plateau.
I'm not trying. I'm succeeding.
Yeah! There we go. You know, the average person fluctuates 3 to 6 pounds every day from water weight. So
that's what he said to me when I first came in. I said how many pounds. Rather than saying, oh, that's a good job, I'm glad you're trying, the first thing is like, well, you know, 3 to 5 pounds of water weight every day. Yeah.
True. Well, because
Thanks for the support.
Well, because I have to tell it to myself, because then I get on the scale and I go, oh, yeah, hey, look, I've dropped 4 pounds. Oh, shit. No, it's because I had a lot of tea this morning.
Or just tell yourself, like, hey, good job.
Well, because then the next day, I've gained 3 pounds. It's like, well, how does that?
Because you ate a burrito that night.
No,
or a steak.
No,
or actually, that wouldn't really do it anyway.
Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't mean it to be like, well, with Bevo I did, but you, I didn't really necessarily.
That's why you don't weigh yourself every day.
Oh. Well, I still hit a plateau. Is the point?
Well,
I lost some weight though. But
were we talking about you?
How much beer did you consume while you were trying to lose weight?
I did switch to wine for a few days.
Oh.
And it actually seemed to help, you know. And then, but mostly I'm just eating less, you know. I figure, why cut out the good stuff, you know? I can eat less burritos, but drink less beer? Come on.
I can bring over the P90 DVDs and we can do them together.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Be the biggest train wreck.
Imagine that video.
Oh, that's going on JTV.
Me and Devo doing P90.
We'd quit halfway through and just...
It's where she pees on you.
Oh, yeah. It's an hour?
It's an hour.
Oh, fuck that. Yeah, I can't.
It's fucking intense.
I don't do anything for more than 30 minutes. Three minutes is what I meant to say.
I sent you an email, by the way. I don't know if you want to watch it. It's a video clip.
Is it pissing porn? Because I don't want to see it.
Yes, actually it is.
Yeah, well, I can't.
I don't know. I probably shouldn't even brought it up. As the brakes get applied heavily on a downhill grade.
Yeah, I don't know. It's some news clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, that's okay.
All right.
I think we're done here. Next week's show is a very exciting show. It's a Monday show.
Yes.
And it's the results of the Brewcaster Challenge. Final bets will be made. The taste-off will happen. And we will find out who brewed the better American Hoppy Red Ale. JP?
Should we talk about it a little bit? Or
Justin? You want to give another quick...
I do have an update if I want to ruin the line.
I'll give you an update. Go for it.
I was sampling it still.
Yep.
All right. And it had a lot of nice malt and this crystal characteristics and all the... And whatever. But as it's carbonating, a lot of that's going away. And the hoppiness is coming through. The nose, it's a great hop aroma. But some of that... residual sweetness, caramel, you know, niceness thing is kind of
going
away, and I don't like it. I'm not as confident as I once was.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
JP Killer's getting to you.
You're my dome piece, yo.
Twitter game?
Oh, yeah, we got to do the results of that, too. Compile those.
I already got them. They were really boring.
I'll give you an update, too. I have a pretty substantial update, I guess I could give you. A couple of things. I kegged it the other day.
Yeah.
It tasted and smells like goddamn Evil Twin.
Well, that's weird.
It's good.
Yeah.
So, up until this point, aside from a couple gravity points,
yeah,
I don't think I screwed it up. But, there's always a but with me. Here's what I did.
Big ones.
On the brew day the Sunday before, I took apart, cleaned, and sanitized kegs. And then I dumped the sanitizer out and I put them back together sealed and I set them there.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 days later, I put the Evil Twin into those kegs. I did not re-sanitize them.
Oh.
Were they flush with CO2?
That's fine.
No.
They weren't.
No. Mm-hmm. I should have done.
Don't!
Oh, but they were flushed before I put the beer into them, but they weren't flushed the day I cleaned them.
You should have flushed them then before you sealed them back up.
You're keeping everything cold?
Were they cold cakes?
Now.
Yes.
Keep it cold.
That's what Doc said.
Keep it as cold as possible.
Doc said if you're not storing them for a long time, you're probably okay.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm just so stupid sometimes, but I thought... I don't know. I already sanitized them and I closed it up. Why do it again?
You're not stupid. You're just lazy.
But it was. Yeah, I am. I'm lazy. And it was the one step. It would have taken me another few minutes just to flush them with sanitizer again. But it's not that. It's not just that I'm lazy. It's that I'm stubborn. Because I'm like, well, no. You sanitize them and they're sanitized. And then literally 2 minutes after I finished filling those kegs, all of the remorse filled into my body. Like, all you had to do was flush them just one more time with sanitizer. Just to be certain.
Good.
So you got that going for you there. But I'll tell you, JP, going into those kegs?
Yeah.
Mm-mm, good.
See, my beer is good as well, but, you know, you don't know how good it was. I'm just saying some of the malt is changing now that it's getting carbonated.
Okay.
Seems like. I don't know. It was like at 12:30 this morning or this afternoon when I was drinking it. So.
Right.
Do that laugh again. I liked that.
I can't do it
again. Come on.
I can't do it again. It's a one-time thing.
I haven't tasted it since I kegged them because I'm scared to death that I fucked it up. I'll be angry if they come out contaminated. You have no idea. I'll be so angry with myself.
You know what I want out of you since you did a clone recipe and you kind of half-assed and cheated anyways?
That That is not against the rules to do clones. People enter Janet Sprown into competitions all over the country.
But that's not a commercial beer. And more often than not, they admit to changing that recipe. So
but
then it's
that
not
doesn't
really,
matter. And it often matters, they do not change it.
But they would never enter it
and
in a competition
because
like this.
Because we didn't make it as part of the rules, you can't bring
you
it up. As
a
negative.
Do they
negative.
Say in baseball that you can't have fucking guns in the thing? No, they don't, because no one they ever expects it.
I'm pretty sure they do say
that you can't have guns.
Yes, that's a rule, for sure.
You can't bring up things that are not against the rules as a detriment.
My point is, I want a video of you siphoning or transferring from your keg into your warhead and transporting it here. I don't want to, because I don't know if you're going to open a bottle of Evil Twin and dump it in. I don't know you. But I don't know you from nothing.
You know what this reveals is how afraid you are that it tastes exactly like Evil Twin that you won't even know.
Well,
if I cheated.
If it tastes like exactly Evil Twin, I'll still win.
I see the fear in your face.
Do you?
Of how
I think it's just allergies.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, I'm telling you, I'm an Evil Twin fan, so I know what this beer smells and tastes like.
Yeah.
My beer. I think Jamil is going to come in here and go, holy shit, Justin, you should be our new head brewer.
Yeah?
I'm pretty sure that that's never going to be said by Jamil, ever.
Right. Why would he say that?
He's going to go, you know what, that Chris Kennedy, fuck that guy. I just tasted your Evil Twin.
Oh.
The one that he walked you through?
Yeah. The one that Chris Kennedy gave me the recipe for?
Yeah, and that Chad brewed for you?
Chad did not brew it!
All right. I'm done with you.
All right, so that's our show next week. You're going to want to tune in and find out the results. We're going to have several judges in here. Are the Dr. Homebrew Boys coming in to taste with us?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so the co-hosts of JP's new show, Dr. Homebrew, which is Lee Shepherd and... Brian...
No, Leech... yes. No.
Lee Shepherd.
Yes.
And Brian Cooper are coming in, and they will taste the beer along with us. They're both BJCP judges, and I'm hoping to get Jamil down here. Of course, all the rest of the crew, and we'll see who win the first ever Brewcaster Challenge. That's Monday, beginning at 6 p.m.
I'm going to win.
All right. What do you have for Twitter results?
I was actually really disappointed with the BN Army. But so the Twitter game was, what are some alternate uses for the Warhead? What would you keep in this thing once you buy it from us? Mike Fitzpatrick says, pee.
Okay. That sounds like a BN listener.
Yeah.
It's got a nice white opening.
Justin says,
this guy's with the big girth.
Yeah. Taste these ashes.
Oh, that's not big enough, is it?
Tasty, can I have... Yeah, we might
64 ounces,
two.
Yeah.
Can
two
I have
of them.
Permission if you die suddenly to put your ashes in a warhead?
I can't think of a more appropriate...
You'd be vessel. Honored, right?
You'd be honored,
right? Old Scratch says, a Christian man's blood.
Wow.
I don't know.
You know, for those spells.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
That's not cool.
And then Ben Cranford says, sperm. It seems like the perfect vessel to transport the spawn of a tubby brewer.
64 ounces
I actually thought
of sperm.
Sperm was the first thing that came to my mind.
You are a sick
man.
Bevo, what is wrong with you?
I don't know why.
Our suspicions are confirmed.
That is the first thing I thought of was...
Yeah.
Well,
hold sperm.
Milkshakes.
You just got taken off the free warhead list. You and Sam do not get a warhead.
Yeah, there's none of that going on.
No.
I thought you'd put him down for two.
Yeah.
So that's what you got. You got pee, you got Tasty's Ashes, you got blood, and you got jism.
Jism. Tasty's Ashes wins, I think. It's appropriate.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Right? All right, Tasty's Ashes. Send JP an email, jp@thebrewnetwork.com, and he'll send you your Twitter prize. Also, just quickly before we go, I wanted to give congratulations to Terrence the Black and family. Long Dong Danger Dong was born into the world yesterday. That's his name, right?
I believe so. I believe it's a hyphenated name,
Yeah, it's Long Dong Diggity Dong Dong.
That's more cultural, yeah.
I think that's...
Wow.
It's Long Dong Diggity Dong Dong. Was born into the world yesterday at about 9:30 in the morning-ish.
Say his middle name. And, I mean, if you're going to say his first name, you might as well say the whole name.
I thought I did.
No, that's his first name.
Oh, it is? Yeah. So it's Long Dong, Diggity Dong Dong, Danger Dong?
I don't know.
Legend.
Oh,
no,
Legend.
Legend, that's right.
Oh, Legend.
Yeah.
And then the Black.
Right.
So it's Long Dong, Diggity Dong, legend, the Black, was born into the world yesterday. By the way, already an award winner, because you might remember he was Douche of the Year in the BMAs.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
So already entering the world as an overachiever in our eyes. And congratulations to Terrence the Black and Becca and family. It's wonderful to have a new kid who will probably be raised correctly into the world and won't be throwing grenades into pubs or marathons.
Meh.
So, yeah, another angry Terrence baby into the world.
I don't think so. Hopefully not. This one was real fat, so maybe it won't be so angry.
Fat babies tend to be happy.
Yeah, jolly.
Is that
more than happy?
Well, look at Abby.
Okay.
Meh.
Just don't put the paper shredder on.
Is that Jackson's sound, JP? That's his sound?
That's what Jackson says. He doesn't say no. He doesn't say yes. He goes, meh.
I like that. He's like the grumpy old Muppet dude.
Well, that's why he and I are best friends.
He's mini JP.
Yeah. Right.
I'm darker than him, though.
I knew there was some funny business going on there.
Yeah. Saying.
All right. Congratulations to our friends. We love them, and we're happy everybody is healthy. Don't forget to go and buy yourself some BNA 8 tickets, and we're getting out of here. JP, do your thing. Oh, that's not the right one. That's the wrong. I punched an asshole into the software, and there's two asshole songs. There's the one by Forrest Day, and then there's this one. Go ahead.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Follow JP on Twitter at MajorJip so he doesn't have to add you as a friend and then hide you on Facebook. Scott is on Twitter when he feels like it. Follow him at Moscow Paints. For some good beer insight and homebrew info, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew and Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. If you want the best growler that your hard-earned money can buy, head on over to the BN store and check out The Warhead. And be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook and Twitter.
Moscow and winning the race. JP does great as his charity.